other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining us on this very important Friday broadcast. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. It is the 14th day of November 2008. Seems as if 2008 just began a couple days ago. And when we blink our eyes, or even in the twinkling of an eye, it will be 2009. And we will have the president-elect Barack H. Obama become the new Caesar, the new figurehead of the collapsing Anglo-American empire. But it's being collapsed by design into the greater world empire openly run by the banks of the planet, the few select families that own them. Even people in our own alternative media movement, most of them keep saying, the bailout is failing, it's not working, it's working beautifully. It's a takeover. The war on drugs, triple the heroin, double the cocaine, more people in prison, more cops getting killed, more citizens getting killed, more robberies, more crime. It's working beautifully. Public schools aren't broken. They're not broken, they're working exactly as they were designed to. The border isn't broken. It's meant to be wide open. It's only meant to keep slaves in. They want more slaves to come. So we'll break all of this down for you today. Phil Berg is joining us. We had him on a few times during the campaign, but now I want to learn directly from him, and I'm sure the listeners do, exactly what happened at the Supreme Court, what happened at other courts, what happened to other lawsuits, pointing out that they would not release the original birth certificate. They said, well, it has a Social Security number on it. Well, black that out. But see, that too is a red herring, because birth certificates today don't have Social Security numbers on them. In the past, you got a Social Security number when you went into the workforce at 14, 15, 16 years old. I know when I got one when I was 13, because I started working at a regular animal vet. Later, I worked for large animal vet, but that part doesn't matter. The point is, when I was 13, I got a job at a regular vet in Dallas part-time, so I went and got my Social Security card. Had to have that to prove I wasn't an illegal alien. But of course, that's all selectively enforced. Government gives the illegal aliens fake ID numbers, fake Social Security numbers, or citizens' numbers. That's in the Dallas Morning News today. Yes, the government, I suddenly have Ebonics speaking today, the government hired illegals almost exclusively to build the border fence, which they never built. It was designed to fail. Has giant 4-foot walkways, quote, for wildlife and water to drain through. It's a complete joke. They're laughing at us. Can you hear them? But I'll get into all of that today. My mind is spinning. There's so much I want to talk about. I watched an hour while I was getting ready for the radio show today. An hour. They're ongoing right now. It's absolutely riveting. I watched an hour of the four-hour hearings. It started at 9 a.m. this morning, Central, I guess 10 a.m. Eastern, with the subcommittee that Dennis Kucinich chairs, with Neil Cash and Kerry up there before him, and Congressman Issa and others just tore him apart, and it was some of the most amazing congressional testimony I've ever seen. I mean, it put Watergate to shame in the intensity and the importance and the reality. So we're going to play some clips of that coming up later, and I'm going to talk about it when we get back. Stay with me.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
To recount the entire saga, the quest that Phil Berg was on, trying to ferret out the real name of Barack Obama. Barack Obama's not his name. To ferret out where he was really born, who his father really is. He'll be joining us coming up in the next hour. Live the last 30 minutes of the show. I have a really interesting gentleman coming on with ideas about how to get the word out about the New World Order, 9/11, the whole global police state. Pretty successful salesman and marketer in his own right. Daryl Rundis will be joining us for 30 minutes today. By the way, we have some really big guests next week. I'll just leave it at that, and you will see who's popping in on the show. But next week is certainly going to be very informative. And, of course, don't forget, I will be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., with the abbreviated Sunday edition. We are here live 6 days a week, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m., and then back on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. I have a lot of very important news in front of me today. But coming up in a few minutes, I do want to talk about the Oversight Committee on the economy that Dennis Kucinich, now that the Democrats have swept the House and Senate, and he's one of the few good Democrats, and by good, I disagree with some of his policies, but he's the real deal, and he does fight tyranny, and he voted against the bailout, one of the few Democrats that did, with a lot of Republicans, kind of like Ron Paul's one of the few Republicans to vote against the war, or the wars, but he had Neil Kashkari before him. And so I watched an hour of this morning in between reading the financial publications. And I was almost late getting to the studio because I was still at my house where I get ready watching this. And so I don't have the clips for you because this was just now live. It's still ongoing. And by the time it got to some of the lesser members on the committee, it became a bit milquetoast. But the first three speakers, Kucinich, Issa, and then I forget his name. We'll pull it up. The black congressman from it's Cummings from Maryland. He was really powerful. And it wasn't an act. The guy started getting tears in his eyes, and he said, look, everybody's losing their houses in my constituency. They're begging me. They're begging me. And Kashkari just laughed it off and just said, look, they don't get any of the money, and just threw it in their face and said, I direct you to the bill. You gave us the power. And Kucinich goes, that's right. Congress gave you omnipotent power. But Kucinich said the contract, the bill, is a fraud, because even though there's a provision in there for unlimited power and no oversight, you stated in the bill that you were going to go in and buy up mortgages and then reduce their price. And Kashkari said, well, we're not doing that now. It just unbelievable. I couldn't believe that it was like Alex Jones was Dennis Kucinich, Issa, and Cummings. I mean, it's the exact questions I would have been asking. In fact, it was better questions than I would have asked, probably. And the way they just said, you're not answering the questions. You're dancing around this. You're lying. How dare you come in here? And Kashkari had this arrogant look on his face, and this he was fighting back a smile. It's fun to them to rob people. It's fun. So I'm going to cover this at the bottom of the hour because this is so big. I don't want to just run into it with a rant. I've been writing some notes here during the breaks of all the points I want to cover. The bottom line is this. The bailout is not failing. You got that? It is doing exactly what it was meant to do. It is not a bailout. the $700 billion, as I told you 5 weeks ago, was only the beginning. The real issue was the unlimited power it gave the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. Now, obviously, Congress could get tricked into passing a bill that said that black people were slaves again. It wouldn't be followed. It would be overturned. It would be an unconstitutional law. It would be an abhorrent law. It would be, under the organic common law, the God-given rights, a fraud. And it's the same thing with this. And remember, the bill got up to about 600 pages, 500 and something with some addendums. And that's why they had all these different versions bouncing back and forth. And then they would always take a day to finally put it out on the internet or on the House site. It was only the committees. And they would throw Democrats. They would throw Republicans out. We had Bonner on. We had several other congressmen. We had the congressman on from Fort Worth, Republican, who was thrown out of the committee meetings. They weren't allowed to see what was happening. And then they were given 3 hours after it was published on that Friday to pass it. And I said, folks, they haven't published it. Congress just got a copy. We can't see it. But I guarantee you the provisions that were in every previous copy for the last 2 weeks, the provision of this can't be reviewed, if the Treasury wants, it can appoint its own group to write a report. And that's exactly what they've done. They hire an underling to write a report. But if they don't want to, they don't have to give anybody anything. And guess what? That was in there. But see, being lawyers at the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve, not just economists and crooks, they knew. They knew that it didn't matter if there were all these other clauses in there that Kucinich was reading to him about, you've got to use the money to literally give the money to banks to forgive part of the mortgages. You've got to loan this money out. You must loan it out at low interest rate and no more than 2 points above prime. And Kashkari just said, hey, but did you read this section where it then has the sharecropper clause? The fine print says, if we want to. All of what you've heard earlier is just the sense of what we're currently planning. This could change at any time. We can do whatever we want, and it's unlimited. We can issue tens of trillions. You know, when Bloomberg came out with their financial analyst and said, well, looks like $5 trillion, and Ron Paul said, yeah, it lists about $5 trillion in things they want to do here, and they've already spent $5 trillion. Now, over $2 trillion of that, as of 2 weeks ago, the stuff we got Monday was already a couple of weeks old. As of a few weeks into this, you know, we're five plus now, but the numbers we're getting are a few weeks old, so it's much more now. Over $2 trillion is just gone. And they say to Congress, you will not be told where it went. Then they go on TV and they have press conferences, Kashkari and Paulson and the rest of them, and just say, hey, we have total transparency, total taxpayer protection. Every dime of this is accounted for. And that's what you see on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and CNBC. This morning, I'm getting off the treadmill. I'm going to go in and just research news. But the hearings start a little after 9. And I'm watching CNN. And I notice that Kashkari spews 10 minutes of bull. And then as soon as they cut to the chairman after the opening statement, they never show Kucinich's opening statement, it cuts. And I go, let me go to CNBC. It cuts. Let me go to Fox. They cut. Let me go to all the other channels. They cut. So I flip over to C-SPAN, and there is the most incredible exposure of that criminal while he sits there suppressing a smile with a smart-ass look on his face. Needs to be arrested immediately, as Ron Paul has said, as the congressman has said. Little criminal. It's a good thing I wasn't there. I couldn't control myself. But the congressmen were seething. And rightfully so. They were looking at a crook, a sack of garbage. So, look at CNN, Fox, all of them. They all tune away They only show 90-plus percent of the time. I rarely see them showing what a chairman has to say anywhere or what the other committee people have to say. Riveting stuff, important stuff. They only show what the criminals in the administration and now the administration of Barack Obama have to say, or the Bush administration and their little corporate captains that are out running the different criminal operations. All right, I'm already getting into the story, but I'm going to recap it and go over all of it. It was just unbelievable. Look, we're playing these clips. It'll probably be later in the show today. If not, I'm going to post them all on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Paul Watson's doing a story on it right now. You can watch the tail end of it on C-SPAN. He's recording it. I need listeners now to go grab clips, put it on the Alex Jones channel, the independent YouTube channel that puts my stuff up. We need, as quickly as possible, it's up to you guys, because Aaron and Rob and others were up here till 3 in the morning working on the new film we're making, so they're not going to get in until about noon. So I just don't have the staff to give the orders to. We're in there recording on the DVR in the office. They had it set to record this morning, so we have it. But I'm asking you, the listeners, go grab it, get it up as soon as possible on YouTube, and I will play the audio of it today. Tomorrow, I may just play hours of these hearings and just fade down Kashkari when he gives the same lying answers. Oh, yeah, he has equal time. And an hour into it, well, my point is I was climbing off the stair stepper, climbing off the treadmill. I got both. Point is, I'm climbing off to go in and do my work, and I keep watching. I go, wait a minute, they just cut away. They're not. All they showed was the statement. I want to hear what they have to say. And boy, was it powerful. So, I've never seen such a swindle. Not in the history of the world have they been this bold. We are back live. Thank you for joining us. When I think about the fact that Neel Kashkari goes before a government oversight committee in the House of Representatives and just arrogantly says, we're keeping the money. And I've never seen congressmen, and this wasn't an act, so visibly and physically, I've invented a new word, visibly and physical, physically, so visibly upset. They were shaken. Well, that's right. You were threatened with martial law if you didn't pass that sucker 5 weeks ago. And by the way, for people that don't understand the branches of government and how oversight works, the Bush administration would not be doing any of this, would not be acting as minions, as henchmen, as operatives for the overall global banking structure, if they hadn't been given the authorization to be doing this. If they hadn't been given the full go-ahead. Because they know that Barack Obama is coming into office. And so if you think that Barack Obama is going to punish this, if you think Barack Obama is going to reverse any of this, you got another thing coming. They wouldn't have done this unless they knew they had the executive secured for another 4 years. That's what this robbery is all about. That's why tyrants want to be tyrants. It's so they can steal whatever they want, your pension funds, your land, your farms, your futures, so they can raise taxes on you, so they can control you, so they can steal tens of trillions of your own money and then give a little bit back to you and control your life. It's feudalism. It's serfdom. It's domestication. I mean, all these poor souls saying Barack Obama is going to change things, and he's already saying. And I mean, I wish I could hope. I wish he was a good guy. I wish this nightmare would end. I wish I wasn't so concerned about my financial future and my family and this country and the world. I mean, I know these are crooks. I know these are ruthless, very dangerous people in control. The presidents are just their front men around the world. They're openly setting up world government in front of us. And I want off this ride, folks. You don't think I don't want to be in denial? You don't think that I'm not wishing this wasn't happening? Oh, I wish it was not happening. But it is, and so I can't engage in mental gymnastics and doublethink and lie to myself and tell me, what are we supposed to do? Just lie to ourselves and then just let this continue on down the road? Just let them do whatever they want? Well, the answer is, do we let them do what they want? They're saying it doesn't matter. They say, we control the executive, we control the legislative, we control the judicial, we control the states, we control and created the international bodies that regulate world trade and commerce and finance, and we're going to expand our control and have it come out of the shadows into the open right now. That's all that's happening. They're unveiling it, but during a crisis. They stage the crisis, then they unveil their system. It's always the same. They stage a terror attack and announce, by the way, we're getting rid of the Bill of Rights, we're going to launch all these wars. They stage an economic collapse and then openly take over and set up world government run for and by the bankers after 100 years of the British Empire studiously building the mechanisms and the infrastructure and the architecture and the superstructure of this. And now here it is. We've been inside the New World Order for a long time. It's how deep are we going to get into it? How far along in their plans? We're under world government right now. It's just, we're going into the end game now, ladies and gentlemen. So make no mistake, the government is unified. The committee chairman of the major committees, the majority of the social climbing governors who've been selectively picked because they've sold people out over and over again, both parties, the regional governorships that have already usurped most state control, the international bodies, the IMF, the World Bank, the Exim Bank, the OECD. It's all coming out of the closet now. They're taking off the gloves. They're showing you what they're all about. Look at this. G20 shaping a new world order. That's CNN money today. We'll come back and more into the incredible committee hearing I was watching this morning and then the big meeting coming up this weekend as the world government openly sells itself to the slaves. And you keep them in the dark for life. And you hide them from the waiting world. Oh, mother. Mother. Tell your children not to walk my way.
Tell your children not to hear my words.
Which side you're on. All right, let me get into that meeting that I was watching today, that congressional hearing that Dennis Kucinich was chairing in his oversight subcommittee that he's over. None of the major committees would actually ever have any real issues unless Ron Paul, who is on the main banking committee, and moving up in seniority, he's right next to the chairman, the Democratic chairman now. He's the lead Republican with a lot of power on that committee. So you do see, you know, 4 or 5 minute injections of reality from him, but that's about it. But with this committee, again, the first three congressmen that spoke, it was amazing. Issa from California, of course, Kucinich, and Cummings from Maryland, all three really brought up key issues. And so that's coming up later on the show, and Paul Watson is doing a story on it. But the big issues here, let me just run through them, are A, on every news channel, they let Neil Kashkari, the little criminal running the $5 trillion theft so far, they let him have a statement and then cut away. So he had to go to C-SPAN, which a lot of cable systems don't even carry now. So you had that going on. And then you had Kashkari just arrogantly saying the same thing over and over again. Well, we had to change it to prop up the financial system from collapse. And they said, but wait a minute. The banks are bragging themselves that they're using this as cash bonuses and to buy other healthy banks. And Kashkari wouldn't respond. And they got madder and more angry and more frustrated. And then Kucinich would read to him the subsections that said they had to do this and that. And Kashkari would say, well, you know about this subsection, though, that says that if we want, we don't have to. So I got to read a whole contract. Well, they couldn't. It was a 500, almost 600-page bill. And we did get to read the earlier versions. And sure enough, the bad stuff was in the later version. That's what they do. These committees, the committee chairman wrote it in secret with the lobbyists, the banking lobbyist, with the Goldman Sachs execs, conferring literally with Kashkari. He was the guy on the Hill. He helped write the thing. And he said, yeah, it says in the subsections we're going to help the American people, but that ain't happening now, Jack. And the reason he's arrogant, and the reason Bush is arrogant, and the reason Barack Obama is arrogant, is because they know the executive has been told he will be protected by the banks and by the media. And so go ahead with the swindle. The big boys are stealing $5 trillion. That much has already been stolen in 5 weeks. And that's numbers almost 2 weeks old. We get them every 2 weeks. We're about to get new numbers next week. That's what they're telling us. $5 trillion 3 weeks in. We're now 5 weeks in. But again, we have two-week-old numbers. $5 trillion. I mean, the government's budget now is $3 trillion. Defense budget alone is $1 trillion. The whole GDP of the country isn't much more than that every year. You understand what's happening? The banks, Wall Street is eating everything. They are gobbling everything. Remember, the derivatives black hole, the currency, all of the swaps, all these little scam instruments, when those had value, it was always fiat. They bought up real assets. And then they leveraged those fiat assets and loaned them as AAA rated gold, as the best investment in the world. And Issa, who's really sharp, I think he's frankly more articulate than with the minutia than even Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul's smart and doesn't bring out all the fine minutia, but I've been studying this quite a bit, and man, Issa was like, I want to get him on, just absolutely hammering him about how this was all garbage and how the government was buying AAA-rated crud that is just made-up garbage. And Kashkari would say, no, it's AAA-rated, it's gold. And literally just had an arrogant laughing at the congressman because he knows they're ceremonial, ladies and gentlemen. He knows that three army brigades, it isn't one, it isn't two, it's three main brigades and a whole bunch of other units. You read the original Army Times report, it said a new brigade. It was all about that new brigade coming for Homeland, the 3rd Infantry Brigade, the big mighty three. Supposedly the Army's best killer unit for us. That's right, for Congress. That's the Praetorian telling Congress in Rome. That's Caesar saying, you do what I say, I'm looting it all. And then they announced the Air Force last week, two more brigades. And the Air Force was just reporting on support units from the Air Force bringing in Army brigades. And then they listed a bunch of other units. I mean, they are bringing the troops home, ladies and gentlemen. And they're bringing them home for active duty in the United States and in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Most of the 170,000 or so they've got in Iraq and the 200,000 contractors, they're going to Pakistan, they're going to Afghanistan, They're going to Eastern Europe, and they're coming home here. People keep living in denial, saying, our troops, they won't shoot at us. Our troops, oh, yeah? If there's total riots and a breakdown orchestrated, and then the globalists send out some hit teams to kill some troops, and it'll be caught on surveillance camera. The bad guys will escape. They'll find one mental patient white supremacist to blame it on later. Literally, he'll be out of a state school, won't even be the guy. They'll kill a bunch of troops, put it on TV, and the troops will go completely crazy and mow the people down with pleasure. I mean, how do the cops get the other police to attack American citizens in Dallas, Texas, or Austin, Texas, or Seattle, Washington, or Denver, Colorado, or Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota? They take an intelligence unit under federal orders, and they dress them up like anarchists, and they have them go out to a line of cops who are just like the general public, dumber than dirt on average. I'm not being mean. I mean, just, you're dumb. And I'll tell you why you're dumb here in just a minute. And they throw bottles at them, and they hit cops in the head, and they knock their teeth out, and they bleed. It's in my film, Police State 2, The Takeover. You know when that film came out? December 99. Got the cops interviewed, the ones that weren't stupid. The detectives going, and then we found out it was our own cops. Then they order them to stand down while they're being hit with bottles and attacked. And then every time the cops try to rush and stop them, the commanders jump in front and say, no, 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 they're in on it. See, the whole thing about being a commander in the police is about lying to your force, dumbing them down, leading them, manipulating them. I'll never forget. I'll tell a story in a minute. The point is, they then attack the police. The police do. And then the news cameras shoot that for a few hours, put it out on national news. And then the police are told, okay, guys, you want to get them, get them. And the cops run up in rubber bullet families and pepper spray baby carriages. It's all on video. Portland, Oregon, Google it. And break women's collarbones with the clubs and stomp on women on the ground. It's all on, all in my Police State films. I mean, that's pretty mindless. I mean, do you like being like a bull and the your commanders put a red flag out in front of you, a red cape, and you run through it right into the sword? But instead of running into a sword, there's the American people behind the red cape. They just hang a red cape out, and then you go running after it, and then they pull the cape up, and you run right over a bunch of innocent Americans trying to save the country. I mean, you're stupid. You're dumb. I mean, I hope you're just dumb. I hope you don't all know, and you think it's fun to violate the First Amendment and to go out and set up families protesting the war, the police state, the open borders, all the stuff you do. I mean, I've got police in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, in the mini film, the 16-minute film, the extra called Battle for the Republic, where if you protest illegal aliens in Seattle or in other cities, the cops walk up and say, you're not allowed to protest while 50,000 illegal aliens take over the city. I mean, if you protest in any way, they walk over and the police take your head, and they slam it in the ground, and they knock your teeth out, and the blood squirts all over the place. They bust your lips open, and then they laugh and let the illegal aliens come over and celebrate, and then they give high fives and claps with the illegal aliens. Black cops, white cops, Hispanic cops. See, they know the job is kill America, kill free speech, attack it, hardcore, get it. I mean, who are you? I'm supposed to go along and say, you're the good guys? When everywhere I go, this is what I catch you doing? Shame on you. But you know what? You're going to pay. Your bosses are going to steal your whole future and your children's future. So go ahead and think you're on top of the world. Go ahead and think you're kicking the American people's butt for our own good. You're going to find out this isn't a joke. I was going to tell a story, and then I wanted to finish that one, so I didn't get to the other one. No, it doesn't even matter. Over and over and over again, and now it comes out in Denver. This is just the time they were caught, because people videotaped it, brought it to the department. Internal police, who will be fired or killed or set up now, said, yeah, it's true. They had cops, Denver Post, this is the police department admits this. Don't you try saying it isn't true. Denver Post. They had cops attack cops and then pull back, and then the cops attacked the crowd and arrested over 150 people. And that happened while I was at a rent-a-car place, because all we had was an RV. We had to get a rent-a-car to run around town, but I talked to the eyewitnesses, the 9/11 truthers. They videotaped a lot of it. Then I saw similar things happen, but you're in a crowd. The cops hold you back. It looks like they're cops, but you can't prove it. So I said, well, maybe Denver cops did an okay job, because at least they didn't come up to any crowd with a sign and say you've got to be in a free speech zone. At least the general cops on the surface didn't violate the First Amendment. So I came on air and said Denver cops, for the first time ever that I can prove, didn't provocateur. We have eyewitnesses that say they saw Marine Corps vans pull up. The Marines openly put black uniforms on over their shorts and shirts. And then later it comes out that indeed did happen. And then they went and we heard there was a riot. And this is cat and mouse. And we got there right after it happened. And cops ran up and said, turn your cameras off. The one time they were out of line and said, don't be videotaping here. Now we know why. They had just staged an event. So I tried to give you the benefit of the doubt, but of course, I've never seen a force of a large city that doesn't hire provocateurs. And I don't mean provocateurs to mix in and you know, see what's going on. I mean, they go out and they, well, take Minneapolis, St. Paul, on video. You see guys in black uniforms who have the build of cops, the body language. They're not drug addict anarchists, okay? They're not 5'6", 125 pounds. Big cops. I mean, so ridiculous. These big cops dressed up like anarchists run through the line and tump some stuff over and break it. And then the cops beat the hell out of all the innocent people and rubber bullet them and take them to jail and go crazy on the news. I mean, these big guerrilla cops, you know, on average about 6'4", 240 pounds, muscle bound, come bashing through the cop line and then run back into the cop line. It's cops. A 5-year-old would know that. Just like in Austin when they had the Fortune 500 in 99. And I know I keep talking about this because it just goes to the fundamental basics of everything. And there's about 400 of us out there peacefully protesting the Fortune 500 that was meeting at the Four Seasons in Austin. And we were going to march from the Capitol, even got the stinking permit. By doing that, then they get to have the riot police out and act like you're criminals, because they just staged, the feds just staged Seattle a few months before. And so we're out there, and I had the anarchists walk over and say, we're going to kill you. Not all the anarchists, the Fed group. And I said, you work for the feds? And he said, yeah, I do. See those guys on those buildings? We're taking this country over. When we do, we're going to kill you. I mean, they know. This was the older guy, one of the foundation handlers of the young people. And I went, whoa. And then I saw these big guys. I mean, one guy was like 6'6", probably weighed 280 pounds, NFL type, in a black mask with a bandana, shoving people, going, let's do something, let's break something. And then the other one was about 6 feet tall, probably weighed 240, the giant cops. And I go, come on, cops. I said, we got cops over here, get out of here. And all of a sudden, the anarchists were tugging on my arm, going, leave him alone, Jones, leave him alone, Jones, and like poking me with two fingers hard in the back, elbowing me, come on, Jones. Working with them. And I was just like, no, do not start trouble. And the news ran over, and all of a sudden, 50-something cops or more from across the street go, knock it off, Jones! They had commanders out there, and they come running across, knock it off, Jones! And they pull those two out, and 5 minutes later, put two more in. It was so ridiculous. Two giant meatheads. Because, you know, they're scared of the crowd, so they only put in the toughest volunteers to be with the hardened foundation criminals. The little intelligence operatives, who are all Marxist-Leninist, but their cover is that they're a anarchist, and they always are shipped in. This is in my film. It's admitted. They have these Ford Foundation funds flying these squads around of anarchists to then start fights. But if they don't do it, they just have the cops do it. And the cops always stand down and let the anarchists scurry off, and they'll be housed in a government building, and police cars protect them. It's all on video. That's your government, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not your government. It's a criminal group there to violate the First Amendment and suppress and chill free speech to make sure the foreign banks get to loot the whole country dry. Now, I want police who aren't part of this to put up or shut up. Go research what I'm saying. Find out it's all true if you don't know. Again, I'm hoping you're just stupid or uninformed or ignorant. I'm hoping that all of you don't know about this and just think it's funny. I mean, enlighten me. In major metropolitan departments, is this just common policy that you want to destroy free speech and destroy America and destroy your children's future? I mean, no, I don't think you know about it, at least most of you. I mean, I can't believe you're that immoral. All right, more on the incredible hearings I watched today. I mean, Kashkari just saying, yeah, we're keeping all the money, we're not telling you where it went, and we're giving you no answers, and we've stolen $5 trillion, ha, ha, ha. We'll be right back. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're here live on the AM and FM dial, simulcast on Global Shortwave, and the internet at jonesreport.com and truthnews.us. All right, gold is up $10.10 today and was up about $6-$7 as of last night, so that's close to $20 in the last 2 days, but around $17 in 2 days. People marvel that it's even this low right now, but that is an artificial depression of commodities as people that were speculating in them dump, liquefy everything to try to cover margin calls and to keep their companies and businesses and homes from going under. But every market analyst, even mainline that I see or talk to, says by next summer, gold, oil, everything is going to skyrocket regardless. They're setting up a new monetary system this weekend, a basket of world currencies regulated openly by a private group of banks. I'm going to cover that next hour. Phil Berg's coming on as well. I mean, here is CNNMoney.com today. This is up on PrisonPlanet.com. We have a link to this if you want to find it. G20 shaping a new world order. And they admit it is a new... In fact, the quote I was seeing this morning on CNN, let me pull up the exact thing mentally. It was, global banking governance. What was the term? They called it a banking world governance. That was it. Banking world governance, and governance is government. I mean, they're just openly saying world government by the banks. Just off the charts. Now, Phil Berg's coming up at... the five after. So I want to bring Ted up briefly for this segment and the next. But ladies and gentlemen, regardless, gold's back up right now, and it may go down again before it goes back up. But this is the time to be buying gold and silver before it races back up. They're talking about global currency devaluations. The minute that happens, unified currency devaluation, that translates to unified world inflation, where the bankers manage everything and design everything to implode economies. The bankers want to implode your economies. They kept begging Kashkari, the committee chairman, others, don't you want to help the people? If we're going to have socialism, shouldn't it go to the people, not to foreign banks? The bankers want, historically, to set you up to blow you out. That's where they get real assets. All right, I could talk forever. I want to bring Ted up. Ted, you've got gold from the price it was, 3 days ago, when it was, $25, $30 less than it is now. So you pass on that savings. Gold is being sold at a premium everywhere because they're manipulating the market down, trying to hold it down. But then physical supplies, are most brokers are sold out. You can pull it up for yourself. Ted has it with no premium. In fact, he has it at lower than the price it's currently selling at. Ted, give us the offer.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, at this particular time, I've got British sovereign coins, and I did. I picked these up when gold was at trading between 710 and 720, and right now gold is at 751. So I'll give you an idea where this is at.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, since I hit refresh, it's gone up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so here we are looking at gold right now. The British sovereigns are 228. Last time I made an offer on those, British sovereigns were at 241. So they're down by almost $20. The franc coin right now, I picked those up at 187. 187 as it compares to the price of 198. So you're saving $11 a coin on those. Multiply that by five. That's how much there is in, you know, price per ounce. So we also have the $10 Liberties and $10 Indians, like we talked about, both at really, really low prices and comparatively in the marketplace. You can't find them anywhere else.
1-800-686-2237. Gold is scarce. Silver is scarce. It's selling for, in some cases, 50% premiums just for bullion. Not here, ladies and gentlemen. You have it at below any markup. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into the second hour. Attorney Phil Berg will be joining us for the rest of the hour to cover what really happened with Barack Obama and is he really eligible to be president. By the way, folks, they've been hiding that. They've been covering up. Not just that, but what his real name is and who his real father is. There's a lot of denial about this. On this very network, I heard a host yesterday tell a caller that there's no truth to a million-man spy army and youth brigades when it was on Barack Obama's own website. They took it down. That made mainstream news. When his chief of staff wrote a book about it, we played audio clips of him saying, mandatory domestic force. Doesn't matter. Just not true. Anyways, I'm digressing. That is coming up. I mean, it just makes my head spin, the willful denial out there. Ted Anderson, they are saying they're going to have a global currency devaluation. They'll decide on that this weekend. They say it could be as early as a month from now that they're going to do it, but it usually takes longer. For people that don't understand economics, this is the end, my friend, my only friend. Beautiful friend. I mean, I don't know what to say here. The end of an order, an end of a system. But again, the globalists are doing this by design. They say it in their own documents that we've published, posted, that they are killing the dollar, that is reducing it, bringing us into a basket of currencies to prepare us for a world monetary unification where you still have your currencies, but they're standardized and operate. How many, for over a decade, I've told you that. That you will have a world currency, but people will still hold their money and go, but it's a dollar, but it's a euro, but it's a pound, but it's a yen, it's a yuan, but it's a shekel, it's a dinar. But it will be globally set through the three major regions and the seven sub-regions. It's all stated, and exactly what we said is now happening. Ted Anderson's got a great gold and silver offer for you. You're going to see hyperinflation. They're trying to suppress it right now so they can buy up assets. It's like a pogo stick. It's going to go back up and sky high. Gold has raced up close to $30. Well, I guess more than $30. Went from $710 to $745. That's $35 in the last 3 days. Ted has it when he bought it 3 days ago, so he's passing that savings on to you. Ted, tell him the coins again. The number's 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Give him the number again, Ted.
Yeah, 1-800-686-2237. The thing about it is, Alex, I've always suggested that people get into small gold and have it physically in their possession. I mean, a lot of people are thinking that they can buy this stuff and have certificates and store it. No, you don't want that. You want to get it in your hands. And that's why I've been recommending the franc coin. The coin is trading at 187. It's a fifth of an ounce of gold. The British sovereign right now, 228. That coin is a quarter of an ounce of gold. Get it in your hands. Have it for when times of trouble come, and we're already seeing that. Walking Liberty halves, I've been able to get those again. They've been gone. I couldn't get anything in that particular arena. And right now I've got a few bags of them at $8.40 a piece, or at $1,680 per roll of 20. That is a great buy at this time. You're right about that. Read Martin Wise right now. Look at Bloomberg. Look at any of these big stock firms.
Yeah, Bloomberg is sounding like the Alex Jones show.
I'm not kidding you, Alex. The mainstream, the people out in Wall Street right now are thinking that you should buy gold and silver. Martin Wise has always been a stock guy, and he's saying that you should have 25% of your assets in physical gold that you're actually holding on to. And then after that, you want to speculate in the mining stock area, or you want to put yourself into some sort of a share builder's account.
I'll say right now, medical, because there's a few things that'll always be there. Ted, you know what? We got Phil Berg coming up. I want to come back and finish up with what Mr. Weiss is talking about and bring up the big issue. People get freaked out when you tell them that, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, that annuities aren't guaranteed. Well, now mainstream media is announcing that annuities may default. No, folks, they're not FDIC protected. And now they're talking about looting pension funds, private 401ks. Mainstream news, folks. You need to physically hold it. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Phil Berg's on next hour. We had a time zone issue, but he is confirmed he'll be with us in about 52 minutes. I'm going to open the phones up now at 1-800-259-9231. And I'm going to go over the news as soon as Ted leaves us here in about 5 minutes. Then we'll take calls for the balance of the hour. But Ted Anderson, absolutely. I mean, here is CNN, G20 shaping a new world order. 3 days ago, Lord Rothschild, Baron Rothschild says, we're setting up world government. The banks are taking over. This is a new world order. Those are quotes, by the way. We run everything. Ha, ha, ha. It's all over mainstream news, AP, Bloomberg, in the financial papers, Wall Street Journal, that the bankers are just keeping the money. I mean, why would the head of Goldman Sachs in a conference call with the New York Times and other papers laugh and say, we're fine, we're just keeping the money for bonuses and buying good banks? I mean, it is just such arrogance because they know they have the executive, they have the military, they have the intelligence operations. They can just do it out in the open. I mean, Ted, I'm even flabbergasted and dumbstruck, thunderbolted, dizzied, dazed. I marvel. Like they say, John on the Isle of Patmos marveled at the beast. I just marvel. I mean, it's like a trick they play. The way Kashkari sits there real smartass with his little smiley face on. And I'm sorry for that term, folks, but it's the only way to describe it. Before Congress going, look, I know we said we were going to do this, but we're not. We're keeping the money. And there's nothing you can do about it. Ted Anderson.
That's what they're doing right now. They're using the money to pay out bonuses. They're using the money to buy up the fledgling companies that are struggling right now. They're building bigger organizations and shoring up bigger monopolies in the marketplace. And that's what they're doing with our tax dollars. That's what our $700 billion is buying. And lacing their own pockets while they're doing this, and then using the same thing as a tool to gain even further control of the world. And that's, you know, this G20 thing that we have going on. You may think that it's our politicians that are going over there that are trying to steer our economy, but wake up, man! This is the corporate institutions that control our politicians.
This is the real government.
Yeah, it's the government behind the government, and now they're just coming right out and saying it. Look, the banks are going to run the world. And, you know, at least they're admitting to it now. This is what's been going on here in the United States for, you know, how long since the Federal Reserve System has been brought upon.
That's right. They're just bringing out into the open what they've always said. And I want to explain to people again. Everything globalism did was to make every country to where it was no longer independent, where you didn't have family farms and ranches, where the average person had greater debt than they had savings or negative savings. And as soon as the U.S. became a negative debtor and had zero savings, on average, the country has the lowest savings rate it had in its history, greater than the Great Depression. So we have a minus savings on average. We are overall public, private, government in debt. As soon as we crossed that in 2007, they announced we're popping the bubble. This is what they meant to do. This was designed to operate this way. They stated it. They brag about it. People keep begging, please, Kashkari, please, Paulson,
Please help us. Why don't you? We're going bankrupt. We're losing everything. The economy's imploding. And they go, absolutely, dumbass. Excuse me. Again, that's what they're saying to us. That's the whole point. And then now they're going to implode everything, have youth brigades, tattletale squads. You'll have to have government jobs, total control. They don't want you being able to stand upon your own two feet. They want to bankrupt you economically so they can totally take over. This is by design, stated by them. And that's why they hope we revolt and go out and shoot cops and military. They hope there's a civil war. That'll just drive the economy down more. They call it the IMF riot. Not declassified, the stolen documents that were released right after Stiglitz left, wink, wink, who released them, and the World Bank admitted those are our documents, BBC reported, and they said, after we cut off liquidity, an economy implodes over 6 months to a year. Then we cut off the water, the food, we kick people out of their houses, then they riot, then the stocks go down to zero, then we buy it all up. You see, folks, we're just getting started in the pain we've got to go through. Ted Anderson.
Well, yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, we fought a revolution in 1776. We won King George and King Rothschild, I should say, back then. We need to get away from this banking system.
And now we're being bankrupted. We're being economically attacked by the exact same bunch. Literally, they're great-great-great-great-great-grandsons.
They're the ones that are going in there, and they're messing with our economies, and we should have another revolution, hopefully a peaceful one. We need to get back to constitutional money. It is the only solution to end New World Order. The United States of America cannot turn over its purse strings to a central banking system. I mean, right now, I mean, if you think about it, Alex, you know what really makes me just lividly mad about is the fact that you can go down to Washington, D.C. right now, and we, the people, are printing the currency, but we don't even get to use it. We have to turn it over to the Federal Reserve Bank. They put a stamp on it, and then they lend it back to us and charge us interest on that loan. And to throw insult to injury in there, it's made out of cotton that our farmers grew, that we turned it into the, put it over to the textile plants, turned it into the fabric for which it's printed on. The whole thing is done by our labor, yet we take this currency as a loan, and now we are on the hook to pay them not only the principal back, but also the interest. No darn wonder why we have to turn over half of our labor just to service the taxes, so the U.S. Treasury can service the interest on the debt. The biggest, the most largest portion of the United States budget goes to debt.
Ted, $5 trillion in 3 weeks. Now, again, this has been going on for almost six, but we have numbers from 2 weeks ago. That's the latest numbers. They come out every few weeks. We haven't gotten the new ones, so it's even more. $5 trillion and $2-plus trillion, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury say, we will not tell you. They tell Congress, we're not going to tell you where your money went. And they are just setting the precedent to do whatever they want. Ted, here's the deal. What do you think the next thing will be? They're openly setting up world government. They're openly announcing New World Order. Folks, Google New World Order and click Google News. Hundreds of hits, hundreds of newspapers are telling you it's a New World Order. They love it, Ted. Go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, right now, what we're doing is we're turning over our power. I mean, we have elections here in the United States, but it doesn't matter who we put in office, because if they can't make a budget, if the economy is imploding, if they're having trouble, they're going to answer to these people. They want to have lower interest rates and a going economy so we can afford to eat, feed each other, have a system that works.
Ted, on Google, I just typed New World Order. Typed out the full word, the full set of three words, a new world order, 59,713, and G20 shaping a new world order, mapping out a new world order, Obama, world crisis, and the new world order. I mean, this is thousands of newspapers saying it's a new world order. Now, if I back up and click on New World Order and click web, the top link is the CIA-run Wikipedia saying it's a headline, New World Order Conspiracy Theory, and they go on to say it doesn't exist in the encyclopedia. So I can click on news, and there's 59,000 news articles saying we're in the New World Order, global banks running everything, exactly what we always said, because we had their own documents. But then you click on the web, and it doesn't exist, Ted.
Well, that's right. And the thing about it is our forefathers set down a constitution so this exact thing would not happen. You can go and take a look at the diaries of Thomas Jefferson and some of the other people that formed the United States Constitution, and you can see exactly why they didn't want to do this. They didn't want to turn the power over to a financial institution. The United States should be governed by the people for the people, not by some foreign bank. My gosh, we can't even have a president.
And by the way, again, these are totally ruthless people. In the time we've got left here, Ted, sorry to interrupt you. Just so much is happening in my mind right now. I know your mind is racing. I interrupt you and then forget what I was going to say. The point is, this is really happening. These are really ruthless people. They don't want you to live a good life.
Well, Alex, you're about to cover a subject to say, hey, is Barack Obama eligible to be the president of the United States? Well, that is all about whether or not he's a naturally born citizen or not. And why do you think we have a rule that says a foreigner cannot be the president of the United States? And that is because the interest of the president should be to protect and to represent the people of the United States, not some foreign nation. And this is a foreign nation that has taken control of the United States of America. And what do you think they want us to do?
That's it. That's what globalism is this multinational corporate crime syndicate that sits above nations, that destroys nations, destroys middle classes, plays countries off against themselves so that there's no one can resist them. This is the tyranny. Oh, we told you, world government run by the banks. Here it is. They orchestrated it just like we told you. And here's what's scary. We're only reading you what they said they would do. We knew all this because we were reading their own documents. Next, they say they're going to have one-child policies and inject us with cancer viruses. Look, I know that sounds crazy. I didn't write it. It's the Biological Diversity Assessment. It's Club of Rome. It's CFR. We've given you the sources. They're already killing us with soft-kill silent weapons, which they incrementally turn up in the atmosphere around us, in the food and water, where we incrementally are conditioned to accept our deaths. It's all happening. It's all real. They are your mortal enemy. They're openly stealing money in front of you. Ted, here's the deal. One more segment, then. Let's just keep talking about this, because I want to bring up the key here. Kashkari told the Congress, we are above the Congress. On Monday, Fed Chairman Greenspan said the Federal Reserve is outside government and is accountable to no one. Now they're saying the president is above Congress and can't be questioned. See, that's all lies. Congress has oversight, can call them before them, but now they're saying, no, we don't have to come before you. They're saying Greenspan doesn't have to come before them. You see, they're openly announcing that they are God. Foreign banks are announcing they run our country and that our Congress has nothing to say. And the police have been trained to hate the American people and to want our blood. We'll be right back. All right, I'm going to take your calls the next segment and get into the big stack of important news today. But the president, the Treasury, they are accountable to Congress. They are accountable to the American people. But you see, the executive controls the military and the whole police state apparatus. And they have trained them to follow orders and do whatever they're told. And Congress has been cowed. They use a backfire in the Capitol parking lot to send in paramilitary federal troops to put guns to congressmen's heads on TV if they don't run out of the building fast enough or if they don't like being shoved. See, it's all about, during an emergency, during a crisis, we're the boss here. We're the men in black uniforms. We've been ordered by the, and we're under the executive. See, that's martial law. Meanwhile, it was the executive mailed the anthrax to the Capitol, and we know that. And they were on Cipro to fight it. The White House, but that's a whole other story. We covered in Fabled Enemies. Ted, in closing, this issue of them just claiming, there's no oversight. We have the right of kings. And then Kashkari just sits there and gives them a smart mouth, little smiley face look as Congress sits there saying, but everybody's going bankrupt. Everything's falling apart. You said the bailout was for them. And Kashkari says, I'm sorry, but it's not now. I'm sorry. Ted Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about this whole thing, Alex. I mean, it's really there. What we're going to get what we deserve, because if we don't stand up and fight this thing, they're going to get away with, you know, they'll do whatever they want to. We, the people, it's us. We're the ones that have to get up, and we have to do something about this. It's not going to be Congress, and it's certainly not going to be the executive branch. We, us, we're the ones that have to actually take some action and, you know, stage protests, do, you know, whatever it's going to take.
But those aren't allowed. Those are un-American. That's not allowed in the Bill of Rights. The Founding Fathers fought so cops in black masks could tell you you couldn't protest. Now, Ted, we're almost out of time here, and I, you know, had you on to talk about gold and silver, and we've gone off into all the things that are happening. And when we come back, I want to briefly give the audience an overall view of the exact structure of world government that they've already set up, that they're now unveiling to us, the slaves, and preparing to enforce carbon taxes and youth brigades and tattletale squads and environmental inspectors in your home. Go ahead and laugh. It's already happening. But give people that gold and silver offer again, because those are some great deals.
Well, okay. You've been touching me where my heart is, so I'll get back to that. Right now, I have British sovereigns. They're at $228. That's a quarter of an ounce gold piece. Get them in your hands and own them. Francs are at $187 right now. They're $11 cheaper than they were only just a few days ago. Well, I picked them up when gold was real cheap, when gold went down, and now I have them at a better price for you. Buy them. The other thing is the Walking Liberty Half. It's a silver coin. They're at $8.40. Silver dollars right now, Alex, are just under 25 bucks a piece. You can get into 50-cent pieces right now at $8.40. Obviously, that's the place to go.
Point is there's a huge premium on silver dollars because they're so hard to get, but these gorgeous half dollars, and by the way, I've got a bag of them, are from, what, 43, 44, 45, just gorgeous little coins, and you get them a lot closer to melt.
You sure do. You get a lot closer to melt. In addition to this, you have something that's recognizable that you can use as money, because when it comes time to buying gas and food, when the dollar's completely collapsed and you have something that's valuable, that's going to buy it for you. I got a picture hanging on my wall of a kid playing on the step, and all around him is Weimar Republic notes, and he's playing with Weimar Republic notes. And the reason why that happened is because the debts of the Weimar Republic got to be so excessive that they had to debase the currency down to zero in order just to service the interest on the debt. What do you think is happening here to the United States? What do you think the rest of those banks outside of the United States, how much do you think they care about the value of
the U.S.? These banks are globalists. They're not American banks. They're raping you. They hate this country. This is a military attack. They set us up. They pay tax incentives to get the factories overseas. Now they're going to come in as the country dies and put carbon taxes on all human activity and, quote, bankrupt the coal companies. Folks, they're going to rape you and 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 rape you. These are the people that funded the Soviets and funded the Nazis and funded Mao. Our criminal government put Mao in.
Hey, it's simple as this, Alex. In 1913, we got the Federal Reserve System, but you couldn't have a central bank without a federal tax. Now they want to have a world tax for a world bank, and that's exactly what that carbon tax thing is. It'll bankrupt.
They said it. They're saying it. You understand this is not our opinion. There's no more time for you to live in denial out there. I'm not talking to our main listeners. I mean all the idiots out there that are still in denial that tune in. I'm telling you, this isn't a game. This isn't a joke. These people are very serious. The least you can do is protect yourself. 800-686-2237. Give them a call. They got British sovereigns, francs, Indians. They got them all. They got just great deals. 800-686-2237. Now, Ted, you're offering this at a lot under what it's selling
for. I have it. I locked this stuff in when gold was at 710.
How long will this go? Through Sunday?
I'll hold it completely through the weekend.
All right, folks, you can call on the weekend. All right, thanks, Ted. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The number one thing to do is to expose our government as illegitimate and criminal. You know why? Because every crisis they orchestrate is only a springboard to bring them to their next goal, which is a springboard to go to the next goal. Every crisis they create, they then pose as the savior and bring us into the next level of tyranny. But at the final moment of world government really taking over, they have to emerge. They have to uncloak And so now they've uncloaked. They say, we are the Queen of England. We are the Rothschilds. We are the New World Order. We're setting up global governance, global banking, New World Order. Thousands of mainstream news articles a day now. Yes, we're going to tax you. We're going to run your life. But the public is under the old download, the disinfo. World government doesn't exist. Spy tattletale brigades don't exist. None of that's true. There's no police state. Everything's fine. The bankers love you. The government loves you. Globalism loves you. So a lot of people are just going, but they said it doesn't exist. I love them. I love them. And even the congressmen are saying, Neil Kashkari, you're giving trillions to the foreign bankers. You're robbing us. And Kashkari smiles and says, it's for your own good. And they say, but you lied, Kashkari. And he says, I know. I mean, just so sick. So when they release bird flu or nuke a city or whatever, just know it's them, okay? They stand to gain. They're the ones behind it. They're the ones doing it. It's time to choose which side you're on. For those that work for the government and power structure, it's time for you to decide whose side you're on. But more importantly, the yuppies, the know-it-alls, the fake liberals, the fake conservatives, the abominoids, the Bushites, the establishment lackeys that are tuned into the false left-right political system that are fooled by all that. It's time to grow up and to stop being delusional idiots. Look, I can't deal with it. You go to Wikipedia, you go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, they tell you New World Order doesn't exist, dangerous, racist, talk about it. It doesn't exist, you know, they claim, I mean, go to the Wikipedia site, it says, oh, there are people that claim there's a powerful world conspiracy by the banks to take over and have carbon taxes. We're just reading their official statements. New World Order refers to a supposed conspiracy in which a powerful and secretive group is plotting. They're powerful. They're not secretive. I mean, it's out in the open. It's plotting to eventually rule the world via an autonomous world government. Yeah, a private corporate government, which would replace sovereign states and other checks and balances in world power struggles. In this theory, many significant occurrences are said to be caused by a powerful secret group or groups. Well, yeah, they openly write white papers saying they're doing it. Historical and current events are seen as steps. Oh, see, as everything we say happens, oh, we see it, we interpret it. No, they say they're doing it to us. But see, they won't let you change this and have actual quotes in here by the world government. And suddenly, Wikipedia just got edited while I was watching, and it'll be changed in a second. It says, this is not a conspiracy, Infowars.com, history of the term. Somebody just went into Wikipedia and edited it right in front of me and put us in there. The modern use of the phrase New World Order originated in the early 20th century by Cecil Rhodes, who advocated the British Empire and the United States of America should jointly impose a federal world government to bring about lasting world peace. A sinister motive is seen in the fact that Rhodes founded the Rhodes Scholarship, and it goes on. So somebody went in and just added the part, this is not a conspiracy. Yeah, you should add the part that it's in thousands of news articles a day saying the banks will openly run everything, run world commerce, world banking, and have Tobin taxes on money transfers and carbon taxes. I mean, it's in the Financial Times of London every day. But you got to say it doesn't exist. Look, they're putting cancer viruses in your kids' injections. It's admitted. Okay? They're putting deadly chemicals in the water that eat your brain and attack every organ in your body. And they say they're doing it on purpose to make you stupid, to make you retarded and unhealthy. You got that, Jack. You got that. With modern medicine and the nutrition that is available to us, many scientists believe we would easily be living to 120 comfortably now. Folks, people lived to 100 routinely 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago. People lived longer before. You're like, no, they didn't. Look at the numbers. Take out infant mortality, because a lot of babies died at birth, and many people died by the age of 5. But once you got past that, if you take out infant and child mortality, people lived until their late 80s on average. Men, it's like 74 now, women 76. They're killing us. Comprende? You got that? They're eugenicists. They run the banking system. You know, I said I'd go to your calls. I wonder how long this will be up on Wikipedia. This is not a conspiracy, Infowars.com, history of the term. You know, I've tried to change Wikipedia, misspelling my middle name, Emmerich. I've tried to change a lot of mistakes on there. They just won't let us do it. I tried to give them free photos that we own, won't let us do it. The people they let run it are these little neocon troglodytes who openly just make stuff up. That's why it's not a very good source of info. But the mainline encyclopedia says it doesn't exist either. I mean, we'll have a world emperor walking around in gold outfits and they'll say it doesn't exist. Or what they do is they're now saying, since they're announcing a North American Union on the news, the people that said we were liars are going, well, that's just kind of a ceremonial thing, just to be friendly and to meet. I mean, they're not really doing anything. See, because you can't admit you were wrong. You always have to just lie and say that we're wrong. Or lie about what we've said. And listen, here's the deal. When I'm wrong about things, I want to learn I'm wrong. I want to get better. I at everything in life. Of how to back out of a parking lot. You know, when I was a kid, my dad said, well, here's how you back out. Here's how you back out with a gooseneck trailer. I didn't say, no, I'm not doing it wrong. Don't show me. Or if somebody taught me how to, you know, use a scope at 500, 600, 700 yards, how to check windage, how to check distance, I didn't say, no, I don't want you to show me. I mean, it's this attitude of, oh, you know how to read. You know how things work. You think you're Mr. Fancy Pants, huh? All right, Phil Berg's coming up, but I want to get into this. Here it is. G20 Shaping New World Order, CNN. Global Banking World Governance. That's all over the news. Just Google the term world governance. Banking world governance. World government controlled by banks. It's just all over the news. Russian leader heading to Cuba and Venezuela. And they're all trying to saber rattle in the West and saying it's provocative. And of course it's provocative. And I'm not choosing sides here. I don't want to escalate things. And so we don't need to have the globalists to control our country. Not our country anymore. We'll get it back when we realize that. Move weapon systems in there and encircle Russia. I mean, NATO openly says that they may sneak attack in official policy with nukes Russia. They openly say in their official doctrine that these are weapons to attack Russia, and then they tell our idiot public they're for Iran on the Russian border in Eastern Europe. They're for Iran. The public's like, Iran? That's that country where they got koala bears and kangaroos. Oh, yeah, literally a lot of Americans in polls think Australia is Iran. I'm not kidding here. This is wanton idiocy. Great article by Paul Watson. G20 to begin implementation of global financial dictatorship. Sarkozy calls for end of the dollar, world reserve status, as power brokers meet to finalize building blocks of new economic order. And let me explain how this works. The globalists created Hitler. They funded the Japanese. The British and German military trained the Japanese how to set up their own empire. The West told them that we wanted them to. Japan was with the U.S. and Germany and France in World War I. Then the United States, well, I don't want to get too complex. Then the United States, through China, attacked Japan first. I'm not saying Japan's good. All these elites are bad. The point is, that's real history. Go check it out if you didn't know that. Again, history's so complex. I want to go to your call, so I'm not going to detail this overly. The point is, at the end of World War II, which the British masterminds and the Rothschild masterminds orchestrated, they went into Japan, they went into Europe with the Marshall Plan with Reconstruction. And that meant putting in puppet governments, that meant creating fiat currencies, setting up a power structure and keeping U.S. troops there to make sure they follow the orders. Germany's totally run by the British. Japan's run by them. It's all staged. And that's discussed openly in the Japanese parliament. Sony, Standard Oil, New York. You want more? That, by the way, that's admitted. Okay? Now, they went in with the OECD, the Organization of Economic Cooperative Development. That was the proper term for the reconstruction for the Marshall Plan. Big CIA chief with his brother. And they went in there and they shut it up as their own personal cash machine. They've always hated Americans. They've hated our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. Major editorials in major magazines and newspapers said we have to destroy the American system. We have to destroy their own currency, destroy their free market. And they said, how are we going to do it? Socialize them. Create a depression. Get them used to going under government. We'll do it. So now here we are, 80-something years later, after 1913, 90-something years later. Here we are. And they are now going to fully bankrupt us, just like they bankrupted Germany and France and Europe. So we can be, quote, rebuilt in their image, absolute slaves. And folks, it is going to be bad. Unless we address the real issue and say no to it now. And the OECD says, the Ex-Im Bank say, they want world taxes at least 86%. They say the U.S. is a tax haven and that under this new agreement, they're going to get our taxes harmonized at 80-plus percent, just like they're doing in England, just like they have in France. This isn't a game. And they've convinced the howling mob of idiots who want some more welfare and food stamps that if they rob the middle class, they'll get more goodies. And just like they did in Japan or Germany in the Marshall Plan, they're going to use the howling mob, and they're going to give them little pieces of the pie, little crumbs, to go along with all this as their soldiers, their domestic thug force. All these slack-jawed, spoiled brat idiots on power trips with a walkie-talkie into the cops. Just stay away from me, trash. G20 to begin implementation of global financial dictatorship. Paul Watson. Henry Paulson abandons plan to purchase bad mortgages and will invest $700 billion bailout in his own bank. That's the Times of London. Now, folks, I told you before the bailout they were going to have a fake bailout and do that because they said they were going to do it. That's the Times of London. They're investing it and leveraging it. Somebody needs to go back to the day they passed the bailout, the day before, where I was saying they're going to take the money and they're going to put it into commodities and they're going to leverage it and they are going to go in there and short. And they're going to go in there and they are going to put it into derivatives. And then they are now had hedge fund managers on yesterday saying that's the thing to do. Gamble with it. So they can aggressively leverage the $5 trillion. Again, not $700 billion. They're going to be saying $700 billion for 10 years when it's $100 trillion. Just get that straight, too. I told you everything. I know how they operate. I know what they do. I know all about them. It's all I do is think about them. All I do is have dreams about it. This is all I do. Eat, sleep, drink. I'm telling you, folks, I know exactly what they're going to do. And you let them get this economic straitjacket on us, we're in trouble. So Henry Paulson abandons plan to purchase bad mortgages. Instead, we'll invest the $700 billion, put in $5 trillion there. In banks, Paulson wants to ruin bailout with private equity. That's another headline. It's not going to ruin it. Ruin implies that he's ruining something that was good. Can you read the bill? The end. It is the end of free banking. Britons face charges to use cash machines and write checks. Some are now, the Mail reports, charging if you use cash to buy things. Of course. Once they get you under a cashless society, then they're going to charge you anything they want to do the digital transaction. Cash is such a luxury, folks, and it keeps the great black market alive that's kept free economies alive. They're getting rid of that. You understand? Same thing here. They're going to charge you to use cash. They're running TV ads saying it's dirty and bad and that makes you sick to train you to accept cashless because then they can do anything they want to you. You understand social engineering? Good story there for you to read to find out the slave grid for you and your family. Regulators nix credit card debt forgiveness plan. AP, of course they were never going to forgive your credit card debt. All they're going to do is shove a gun in your mouth and squeeze the trigger. and laugh at your dead body with the brains blown up against the wall. They're predators. Retail sales fall by record amount in October. Financial crisis and weak economy push retail sales down by record amount in U.S. history. They don't care. They love it. Good. Australian web filter to block 10,000 websites. And it says child porn and other unwanted content by the government. Then they list that. Quote, anti-government, anti-globalization sites, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are already banned on government networks worldwide. They're already banned in public transit, broadband in England. And the public, 90%+ don't want it. And the government says, shut up. We have paramilitary police. We took your guns 10 years ago. Shut up. Shut up. We're taking your free speech. We're taking your right to choose. Shut up. Shut up. That's the Australian Herald Sun. Australia's mandatory net filter is being primed to block 10,000 websites as just the start of the blacklist of unspecified, unwanted content. They're doing a national test on tweaking it. Some 1,300 websites have already been identified by the Australian Communications Media Authorities, and they'll just add whoever they want into it. Communications Minister, you mean Big Brother, Minister Senator Conroy revealed details of the Rudd government proposal web filter as he called for expressions of interest from the Internet service providers, ISPs, for a live trial of the technology. ISPs will test ways to filter web using volunteer subscribers. Oh, yes, little scumbags. Like we have Austinites volunteering to have tracker boxes that track everywhere they go, taxing them. Oh, yes, I want to volunteer to be a slave. The trial will start before Christmas and is expected to last 6 weeks. And it goes on to say they're going to do it in England, the U.S., everywhere. Canada's already announcing they're going to do it. And meanwhile, I get emails going, you liar, there ain't no internet censorship, and there ain't no New World Order. Just shut up. I got to go get another flu shot. All right, I promise, directly to your calls, the millisecond we come out of this break. Know they've only got one life to rape and steal everything. And they're gonna do it. No quarter. It's fun for them as the public begs and pleads like they're nice.
Oh, I'm going bankrupt. Oh, I'm losing my house. Good.
Now you'll only call for more support from our government so we can get you tighter in our web, little buggy. Don't you know that we're the big black spiders that live under the table? All right, let's go to Mark in Oregon, then George, Richard, Jamie, Tony, Carl, others. Go ahead, Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Fired up today.
You're fired up good, Alex. As usual, on one level or the other, you have the passion. That's why you are in the position you're in. I truly believe that. You have a God-given passion for the truth and for just fighting everything that fights the truth, because everything that fights the truth is out to destroy everything that's good.
I don't like scumbag yuppies and smart mouth parasites like Kashkari. It's people like him that are causing all the death and starvation worldwide. I have their own documents where they engineered it all, and I know he's a mortal enemy of my family.
I hear you right there. They're out to kill us all, Alex. Alex, when it comes to Mr. Kashkari and his arrogance that you've described in front of the Oversight Committee this morning, his arrogance doesn't surprise me at all, because, of course, he's privy to the actual weaponry which they have to enforce their will, whatever their will would be, within the Illuminati and their political minions.
But still, if they don't have the people's minds, they fall. Now, once they have the robotic systems in place, it's going to be a little bit tougher, but still they fall.
And the arrogance is easily explainable at this point with what we know of the arsenal of actual weapons which they have to repress the will of the people. And now they're repressing the will of the people's representatives and the Congress. And it just shows how they feel and where they're at as to how they estimate their own power. And I think they're giving themselves an accurate estimate. I don't believe they've ever overestimated their power in any kind of way.
No, they normally move carefully, and now they're just They're like a giant boa that has us, little piggy, all tied up, strangling us, crushing the life out of us right now. And every time we cry out to help to the snake, they just squeeze that much tighter and go, I am helping you, little piggy.
Feel they have the upper hand. And
Barack Obama will. Obama! Obama! It's like little blind sheep that have had their legs cut off, being dropped into a pit of giant snakes, begging Obama the snake to save them, when he's just one little snake skittering along on the bottom with these big giant Rothschild pythons.
Well, when you consider that it's estimated there's somewhere approaching 50% of the people who can vote by law in this country and who voted, I guess, one way or another, the figure being floated is about half the country is actually for him and falling for this grand illusion that he's putting out, because it's very essential.
But here's the deal. When they get raped, though, again, even more of them will become disillusioned and the next time not be as apt to be fooled. They are losing their credibility very, very quickly.
Alex, I have a really, I think, a good idea that I'd like you to think about.
All right, tell me.
I'd like to suggest it to you real quick. I think you could probably organize a group of like-minded congressmen who we saw their true colors, as you've described it, in this oversight hearing, and that have a deep passion for truth, justice, and the American
way. Look at these congressmen. I can't get the time of day from these people. We're lucky to be able to bug them and get them on the radio.
Even Dennis Kucinich.
I know him. I can get him on the air. It takes about a week.
Well, I just thought that perhaps even after the election, but preferably before, that a group of congressmen would want to come together that had a passion to save
America. Yeah, just don't let them get on the same airplane. No, I hear you. I can barely even live my life now, so I can't do anymore.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, wide open phones. We can get Phil Berg on right now, but he's on a train and his cell phone's cutting in and out. So we're going to call him coming up a little bit in the next segment. Continuing with your phone calls, I'm not putting down what the great caller Mark in Oregon said about myself organizing the congressman. The congressmen don't want to be organized by me. They are people fighting the bailout, are a diverse group of congressmen. Most of them don't even know who I am. I think a lot of listeners overestimate my stature. The real power is you, the listener, spreading the word and the information and the articles and the videos. Now, that's what's had power. But I can't organize myself out of a wet paper bag these days. I'm trying to do a bunch of projects, make films, get my studio done. So they did. I mean, they were on the Capitol Hill today exposing how Kashkari and the bankers are stealing all the money. And national TV cut away from it and didn't give it any attention. I mean, I could probably get 200 congressmen organized. That's all I did for a year. And then have some meeting that no media would cover. But now they're shutting down the free internet with 100 different tactics. If we could get the public to admit it was happening, we could stop it. But that would take, 5 minutes away from their football game, so they will have everything they've got taken. And they will go to work camps. Let's go ahead and talk to George in Indiana. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Alex. I think I told you this once before, but I've got source material for it. Obama had gotten on and made a statement that if he were president, that one of the things he wanted to do was gather all the Muslim leaders together for a meeting. And if you, the source, Stephen Edmondson, American Jihad, in the Free Press 2002, lists the terrorist network in America, and it's amazing.
Well, the big tax-free foundations, as Barry Hamish reports, fund the real Muslim terror groups. And absolutely, through the big foundations, they control the leftist terror groups. And the low-grade morons actually carrying out the bombings don't even know what they're part of.
Yeah, well, they could carry out a jihad here in the United States if that's what they wanted to do in order to bring in martial law.
Yeah, but that's, you know what, they're going to release bird flu or something else or stage a nuke or maybe just use this economic collapse. I mean, the whole Muslim thing, in my opinion, is way overrated. I mean, Barack Obama isn't a Muslim. I mean, sure, his daddy was. He went to Muslim schools. What he is a chameleon, a New World Order backstabber.
Well, keep up the good work, Alex. I listen every day.
But I mean, listen, I agree with you. He's got pull, and now the Muslims are all freaking out, thinking he was their man because he's, you know, appointing all these Mossad chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree, the Muslims sure thought that he was their guy. I mean, how naive are all these groups? How naive are white people, black people, anybody? The guy's a new... He was more for the bailout than Bush and McCain. He's a total whore to these people.
I've got friends that still can't see it, Alex, and they're losing money right and left right now. A buddy in the video business that was doing $3,000, $4,000 a week did $170 yesterday.
Hey, man, we're hardly selling any books or videos at InfoWars.com right now, and that's sad because, A, the word's not getting out, and, B, we need the funding. I can't imagine what it's like for other businesses because here our audience is just exponentially exploding. More AM and FMs, more listeners, huge internet audience. I mean, everything's getting bigger, and with an audience exploding, sales are down 50% in the last 6 months. And this is going into the holiday season. That's always our biggest time. So I'm experiencing that. But luckily, I'm like a squirrel and have squirreled away money to keep this operation going for quite a while. And thanks to the money bomb, we've been able to build a new studio. So studios, there's two of them. Listen, I really appreciate your call, my friend. But that's something I keep forgetting to do in the last, my goodness, yeah, 2 hours and 5 minutes of broadcast. There is the holiday Christmas special. 5+ months. It's almost 6 months. 5+ months free at prisonplanet.tv right now. All my films are super high quality. Behind-the-scenes stuff, everything. Such a great deal. Prisonplanet.tv. And your support makes this possible.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Later on the document cam at prisonplanet.tv, I'll show you this headline, G20 Shaping a New World Order. CNN Money, that's meetings coming up this weekend. A lot of your phone calls. Jamie, Carl, Tony, Kyle, others, your calls are coming up. We'll have him for about the next 20, 30 minutes. He's on a train, and he's attorney Phil Berg. He was, of course, the deputy attorney general of a major state as well, Pennsylvania. And he is the guy with Obamacrimes.com who tried to ferret out who his daddy really was. Was he a U.S. citizen eligible to run for president? Where was he really born? And they acted very suspicious and covered all of this up. And they also lie and say his dad wasn't a Muslim. Now, it's not an issue that his dad's a Muslim. It's that they lie about it when it's admitted. They lie and say he wasn't in Muslim schools. They lie about everything. Now, this guy's a puppet. But he certainly couldn't pass, with what we know, a security clearance. So I wanted to get, but he's now the president, I wanted to get Phil Berg, who's a Democrat, and he's also a member of the NAACP, in fact, one of the heads in his community. I wanted to get him on to talk about the Supreme Court, where it went, what happened in those hectic days in and around the election. Phil Berg, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure. I'm speaking to you from Washington, D.C. today. I had to come down here for some business to fulfill my desire for all Americans so that the U.S. Constitution is followed. I'm meeting with some people here who help me in my endeavors to see that our Constitution is followed.
Okay, give us chronological, if you can, what happened right before the election, what happened at the Supreme Court, what happened with some of the other suits that others brought, why they're being so secretive with the birth certificate, claiming Social Security numbers can't be seen when Social Security numbers are not on birth certificates.
Well, I think the reason that nothing has been produced is because I think I'm right on target, 100 or 1,000%, that this is the biggest hoax ever attempted upon the American public in the history of our government. Barack Obama taught constitutional law. He's an attorney. When he was sworn into the U.S. Senate, he swore to uphold the Constitution. And what's he done, you know? He can't produce documentation that he meets the qualifications for president. The qualifications are only three. One, you'd be 35 years of age. He is. The other, you've lived here in this country for 14 straight years. And three, that you'd be a natural-born citizen. He's not natural-born. I can tell you right now that he was born in Kenya. But I'll even tell you, even if you buy the argument that he was born in Hawaii, he would have lost his citizenship. And people are probably saying, how can you lose your citizenship? But let's just back up for a minute. He was born in Kenya, and if your listeners have a, if the father and mother are both from the citizens of the United States, wherever the child is born, like in other words, if your listeners go to Mexico or Jamaica or Japan or how about even Kenya, and while on vacation they have a child, as long as both parents are U.S. citizens, when they come back, that child is considered natural born. But that's not the situation with Barack Obama. And he always, and he says, even the other day, I think he called himself a mutt when he was talking about the dog, and he said he's a mutt. He has a different background. His mother was a U.S. citizen, but his father was not. Well, in that situation, you have to look at the laws in effect at that time. The law back in August 4th, 1961, was the fact that if only one parent is a U.S. citizen and the other parent is not, the U.S. citizen had to live in our country for 10 straight years, which he did, but five of those years had to be after the age of 14. 14 and 5 is 19. She delivered him when she's 18. So according to law, he's not natural born. Now, some people are saying, well, that's only a technicality. Well, it's the law. The law is what the law is. You can't just say it's a technicality. So on that basis, he's not natural born. Because if he's born in Kenya, and let's look at what's going on in Kenya right now. They're jumping up and down. They had a national holiday this past Monday, and I've heard that they're going to mark his birthplace as a national, like, shrine. So, I mean, that's just more evidence that he was born.
And his grandmother is on video saying, I was there when he was born in the village.
Well, one thing, let me say, the video is, we've checked the translation on the video. That is not accurate, but we do have on our website an audio taken about 3 weeks ago by a minister, which it's in Swahili, but we have the translation also on our website, which is ObamaCrimes.com, where she says, I was in the hospital when Barack Obama was born here in Kenya. But the video, if you get someone to translate what they're saying in Swahili, it doesn't match what's on the English front. I don't know who put that up. See, people are trying to turn it around and try to make people like me
they're planting tar babies or honeypots. Now the question I have for you is, where does it go from here?
Okay, where we are right now is the judge dismissed my case at the district court level, and what I did is I appealed it to the Third Circuit, but immediately to the U.S. Supreme Court because time's a wasting. And the Supreme Court, I did file for an injunction to stay the presidential election. They didn't grant that, but I could understand that because there's a whole election process involving people from school board to commissioner all the way up to president. But the case is pending. My writ of certiorari is there. Barack Obama and the DNC and the other defendants have till December 1st to file a response. They don't have to, but that's it. After that date, and by that date, we're having a number of individuals around the country file what's called a friend of the court brief. And December 1st, the court will decide whether to take the case or not. I'm hopeful, and I just spoke today to two law school deans, that they will take the case because, in effect, they're saying by that decision that no one has standing, that no one has standing to bring a suit against the Constitution, which is really ridiculous, especially on a constitutional requirement for president. So, if they take the case, then depending what their decision is. However, I have also filed another action, which is now under court seal, so I can't discuss it, but at the appropriate time, I will discuss it. It's a backdoor attempt to make him produce what he really is. Now, in addition to that, some people here, I'm in a meeting in Washington, D.C., some attorneys here just filed a suit in California. I think Mississippi, they're filing lawsuits against the electors, or to tie up the electors. Obama is not president. He's not even president-elect at this point. He got more votes, but the votes really don't mean anything under our system until December 15th when the electors meet in every state throughout our great nation. And then it really isn't final at that point, because then they send it to Congress, and it's the first or second week in Congress. Congress meets. If one member of the House and one member of the Senate raises questions, then Congress has to hold hearings. So we're moving ahead on all these bases, and we ask your listeners to write to people and pressure, even to write to all the U.S. Supreme Court justices to express how they feel. And we have their address on our website if you need that, because this is, like, unconscionable. You know, this is like he either is a natural-born citizen or he's not. And if he is, why hasn't he produced the records? It's very interesting that he hasn't produced any. We know nothing about him.
Well, Phil Berg, speaking to that specifically, I mean, you're a Democrat. You're an NAACP guy. You didn't have an axe to grind here. You found out about this, as you told me a few weeks ago and a month ago, because you were researching it because you'd seen the challenges on the Internet and didn't believe them, and then found that where there was smoke that there was fire. But regardless, what did the Democratic Party do? I mean, they could have found lots of qualified black Americans who have been here for generation after generation, can prove their pedigree. I mean, when you're talking about a president, it doesn't need to be all clouded and questionable. I mean, much less in a president whose father never even really lived here and wasn't a U.S. citizen and was a communist. And I mean, that alone, and then all the weird Marxist, and I mean, the establishment clearly can blackmail him with this now. And whether it's true or not, it's the covering up that's so suspicious, and they have been doing that. And the denial now by his followers, I see them even denying that he proposed a 1 million-man civilian intelligence force and compulsory draft when it was on change.gov. I mean, his followers are delusional.
Right. I mean, what you're just referring to, they put on their website, and then there were so many complaints about it, they changed it, and now they're denying it had it. I mean, you know, we need some... This is a candidate for change. We need some honesty in government, and I guess he fulfills that, though. He's a candidate for change because Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, had been talked to about running for governor. What did he say? He said, amend the Constitution. So I guess Barack Obama is a candidate for change because he says, I can walk on the Constitution. I don't need the Constitution. But you know what? We need the Constitution, and we need this nonsense.
They may start claiming that Schwarzenegger was born in the U.S., and then if you say he wasn't, they'll just say you're a conspiracy theorist, you know.
Right, right. Schwarzenegger, what he should have done is just filed. According to the law proposed right now by Obama, Schwarzenegger should have just filed and said, hey, you know, I'm natural born, you know, just I'm not going to listen to you. That's what's absurd about this whole thing. So we're going to proceed against the electors. We're going to do everything in our power. We think we have to...
Why didn't he just release it instead of a receipt for one that looks like it's fake? Many experts have looked at it. Why? Why not nip it in the bud? It's become an international issue. Yeah, go ahead.
Because he wasn't born here. I mean, look, come on. If a lawyer, you know, if let's take a criminal case, hypothetical case. They say my client committed this robbery, and he committed it, and I'm from Philadelphia. But that on that particular day, he was in Washington, D.C. He was a guest at the White House, okay? Professionalist. Well, wouldn't you produce evidence that he was in Washington, the White House, rather than have your client dragged through the mud? So, I mean, the thing here is, it's obviously they don't have a birth certificate because they wouldn't keep hanging their head on this certification of live birth, which is a phony document which they put up on their website in June of 2008. That's what's significant. That's before I ever got involved in this case, before many people got involved. I mean, there had been talk about it. So they put this fraudulent document up to think people that will buy it and go, well, I think what's disgusting is the fact that I wish I could sue ABC, CBS, NBC.
Stay there. One more segment. Phil Berg, after the break, we'll be right back. All right, let me talk to Berg right now.
And you're caught on.
And let's go ahead and kill the transmission. I want to talk to him privately.
Which is a phony document which they put up on their website in June of 2008. That's what's significant. That's before I ever got involved in this case, before many people got involved. I mean, there had been talk about it. So they put this fraudulent document up to think people that will buy it and go, well, I think what's disgusting is the fact that I wish I could sue ABC, CBS, NBC.
Stay there. One more segment. Phil Berg, after the break, we'll be right back. Phil Berg, former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, Democrat, NAACP head in his town, really got worried about this constitutional crisis. I mean, the guy's dad is a foreigner. He is a communist. He is a Muslim. He did go to Muslim schools. His real name isn't even Barack Obama. It's Barry. I mean, it goes on and on, and people are getting more and more upset about this. Phil, you were talking about the media slandering you. Please continue.
Well, it's not the mainstream media is just not covering it. It's not they're not really doing it. Now there's some people on the internet who are, I think, jealous of me. They're putting all kinds of remarks up about me. I don't want to give their names to give them any credence, but we'll deal with those people. But there's people out there saying they're reporting me and I did this wrong, I did that wrong. I have the case before the U.S. Supreme Court. I've raised the knowledge across this country of the question. I think, if nothing else, that's a major accomplishment. Other people are just trying to jump on the bandwagon. And whoever wants to jump on, I don't care, because the bottom line is we got to find out the truth here. And the truth is, in my opinion, is that he's not natural born. He has no business being president. And I think, really, hopefully, the criminal authorities will take a look at this after the fact, because I think people like Howard Dean and other people at the DNC, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and his top campaign people really are opening themselves up for big criminal charges, because this is outrageous.
Where do you go from here, Phil Berg?
Well, like I said, we're waiting on the U.S. Supreme Court. We're getting some friend of the court briefs. We're going to be taking some action against the electors, because electors can only vote for a qualified candidate. And I filed some other case, which is now under seal, so I can't discuss it right now. But in short time, that will come out. We're just doing everything. We're going to put together a full-page ad is out tomorrow in the Washington Times, their weekend edition. And we're hoping to raise money to place ads in other papers across this country so that more and more people become aware of it. Because as people become aware of it, even Barack Obama people, they're saying, are you for real? And I'm saying yes, because they're starting to question. Because if he ends up getting inaugurated, we're going to have a constitutional crisis here, because he'd be like usurping the power. And any law he signed into effect would not have effect. Well, any judgeships or ambassadors, anything he did would be illegal.
Well, Phil, just on the face of this, I mean, again, I'd love to have a black president. I mean, I love how happy it's made folks, people thinking there's not all this racism, people not, you know, having all this weird guilt and the rest of it. But the fact is, it's a guy named Barack Hussein Obama. And I'm not somebody up here ever bashing foreigners or Muslims, but with all the fear-mongering about it, now suddenly this guy goes to communist schools, foreign schools, all these Marxist, Leninist. I mean, you couldn't write a book, a fiction novel, this weird, and then they're hiding, and the governor is hiding his birth certificate. I mean, I keep repeating that. And then they lie and they call me a liar in the mainstream media and other places, saying Obama never called for compulsory public service. I mean, his chief of staff wrote a book about it. He's talked about it. They posted it on his website. I mean, that's another example of the denial. They're saying that I now am a fabricator and a liar and that that's not true. I mean, this is cult-like, Phil.
No, it really is. I saw that on the website myself. So, you know, I don't get these people. And what you have to do to just protect yourself on this is, when you see things on the website, just download it, you know, put it someplace safe so we can have it here. Because if they're doing this early, then I hate to see what they're going to attempt to do when they become, you know, if he becomes president. And I hope that he doesn't. I want to do everything in our power.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. Are you watching your back?
I'm trying to.
Have you had threats?
No. I have not had any direct threats. You know, I hope by talking about it, I don't get any. You know, I've been, just people tell me, be aware. I think if something happened to me, which I hope doesn't, for my children and grandchildren, this would be a major front page story. So I think I have safety in the following, because I'm so well known.
Yeah, that's like Jim Garrison said. He's public, so he's safe. And I absolutely agree with you. Well, ObamaCrimes.com, I know you're really busy. We're going to send a team up there to interview you for a Barack Obama piece I'm doing. Because I got blindsided by this guy. The way he lies, the way he said he'd end the war and not have illegal wiretapping, and then he backtracked. Now he's going to have lobbyists in the White House. I mean, this guy is making Bill Clinton look truthful.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, he says whatever he's supposed to. Look, the biggest example is, and I'm basically doing the constitutional, but Reverend Wright is the prime example of how he switched. We found out in April of 2008 that Reverend Wright made all these outlandish remarks. So what happens at that point? We found out that he prayed with him 20 months ago when he first announced his candidacy, but he wouldn't allow Reverend Wright up on the platform with him. Why not? Then that Friday night in April, when he went on all the, he went on every cable TV show he could get on.
Hold on, do five more minutes, because we've got to go to break, Phil. In fact, I'm going to talk to you behind the scenes at PrisonPlanet.tv. Let me go ahead and talk to Phil. Phil, I know you just got off a train. You're waiting to go do something. We're going to be out of break in 3 minutes. You want to come back and briefly finish up then?
Sure.
Okay, fantastic. Now, we're on the internet with tens of thousands watching and listening, just not the AM and FM. Let's continue with that issue and then reiterate it when we come back. But please continue.
Sure.
I mean, we're still live right now.
We're live now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but just on the internet. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Where did I leave off? Tell me where I was.
We left off with Reverend Wright.
Okay, Reverend Wright, on that Friday night, he went on every TV show he could to say what? To say, I was never in a pew when Reverend Wright made any of those remarks. Okay? But by Monday, when he went to Philadelphia and he gave that famous race speech, which wasn't that famous. I mean, if you really read the speech, it wasn't that good. He has a delivery style which is fabulous when he's talking off a teleprompter. But he slid into a speech there or something. What did he slide in the speech? He said, I was in a pew when Reverend Wright made the remarks people were questioning. So between Friday night and Monday, he switched it, slid it in there. Most people probably didn't pick up that line in his speech. But it just shows he switches his thought process to go with whatever it appears that the people want to hear at that particular point. And that's not a true, honest person that we want.
Well, he's certainly a scary individual. I mean, I have never seen in U.S. history a case where they were calling people the one, the leader, the president of the world. Here's a headline right here. Here's one. It says, Barack Obama vows to change the world. That's for the PrisonPlanet.tv. Here, I'll give folks a document cam shot. Pull that up for me. For folks watching, again, at PrisonPlanet.tv. I mean, this is the type of headline that we've got literally by the hundreds. Barack Obama vows to change the world.
Yeah, he wants to be the president of the world. But you know what? We need a president of the United States. We need someone to restore the dignity of this country, the honor of this country. You know, also, you know, remember there's still that photo of him standing there not saluting the American flag because he and Michelle have trouble with the American flag. He wants to change our national anthem because he wants it more congenial for the Middle East. He doesn't like the word bombs bursting in air in there. I mean, if ever there's been a radical person who is trying to be president, it's Barack Obama. But the point is, really, he's not qualified. Point blank, he's not qualified. He's not natural born. And really, he should be arrested. I mean, I'm hoping that everyone out here, I'm hoping that the court system moves ahead as fast as they can so there's a decision before inauguration.
All right, Phil Berg, we're going to let you get back to the important work you're doing here in just a moment. We're going to come back to the full audience. I want to talk about where you're going. Specifically, you know, the battle plan and why you think Barack Obama needs to be, quote, arrested. Here we go. And this song's for Jimmy Vaughn.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans.
Because I know he loves Chuck Berry. Phil Berg just got off a train 20-something minutes ago. We want him to get back to his important work in D.C., but we're going to have him back up in the next few weeks, and we're going to interview him up in probably up in Philadelphia in the next few weeks. I'm going to send a crew up there. During the break, when we were talking just on PrisonPlanet.tv, Phil, you talked about Barack Obama needs to be arrested. Why does he need to be arrested?
Well, I think that what he has done here, in cohorts with his wife, in cohorts with Howard Dean, official of the Democratic National Committee and his campaign staff, is attempting to pull off the biggest hoax in the history of our country. I mean, it's an outright fraud. I mean, think about it. He's not qualified to be president, and he's coming up with the media should be. I wish we could sue the media, but I really think when it comes down to it, if he's not a natural born, and I'm sure he's not, because if he was, first off, if he wants to start saying, well, there's technical issues, well, they're more than technical issues. And if he thought they were only technical issues, he should have then filed a lawsuit 2 years ago before he announced for president to clarify those issues. He refuses to divulge information. I think he hasn't released his college information because I believe, and I just spoke to a couple of deans of law schools today here, who confirm it's probably on his application for law school or financial aid where he's a citizen of. And he probably put down he's a citizen of Kenya or Indonesia, and he probably applied for and received foreign aid. But, you know, we're asking for something called a birth certificate. Every one of your listeners out there has to produce it, and many times, at least probably six times in a lifetime, you know, when they sign up for Little League, when they get baptized, when they get married, some states for driver's license, for selective service, for passport, you know, there's many times you have to produce that document, and why won't he produce his, you know? It's not even a defensive issue at this point, because it's all over the Internet. There's lawsuits pending all around this country. There's going to be more lawsuits pending because people are wondering, is he natural born? And if he's not natural born, he cannot be president of the United States because it's one of the three basic requirements of set forth in our Constitution.
All right, Phil Berg, I want to just, because you're the expert on this, really, you know, you're out there vetting what's true and what's not, and you told me that it's not exactly that in Swahili with his grandmother saying that he was born there, but now that there's another audio tape that is in Swahili where she does say it. What about what we're seeing on mainstream news sites, these supposed documents of him in Indonesia where he lists himself as a Muslim and as a citizen of Indonesia?
Yeah, I mean, his name on the document, which we have, I'm sure other people have, but it's on our website, it says his name is Barry Soturo, nationality, Indonesia. If he hasn't changed his name since then, legally changed his name is Barry Soturo. So that's another fraud in the American public. When he filed for the application to be admitted to the Chicago Bar, he put on there, they asked for his name, and they put on there Barack Hussein Obama. They asked for other names, and they said none. So, I mean, he really has a lot of explaining to do.
Well, I mean,
if you or I did something like that.
No, I mean, even Time Magazine, back when they were lovey-dovey, you know, 6 months ago, said, you know, meet Barry, you know, when he was Barry. And so it was known that he went by that name.
Right.
So, I mean, the guy is who is he? And we don't even know. He's about to be president.
Yeah, we have no idea who he is because he won't release any documentation. And our mainstream media has refused to ask him any questions. I mean, look at Governor Palin recently. She was totally vetted, you know, and they asked her everything under the sun. And if you can do that, that's fine. They're allowed to do that. But how come they didn't do it with Barack Obama? How come the media that travels with him, even today, how come the media that travels with him can't walk up to him and say, show us your birth certificate. Where were you born? You know, they don't. They're a gutless media right now. It's controlled by a few corporations, and it's really a disgrace. And I'm thankful for people like you who are willing to air this topic. And so your listeners out there, the more and more people who know about it are raising questions. Even people, Democrats, even people that have voted for him, say, is this for real? Well, then he can't be president.
Well,
I mean,
Phil,
people want to know. Yeah.
No, I mean, people want to know who he really is.
Right.
You know, I tried to stay out of this. You know, I'm nonpartisan. I'm a 9/11 truther just like yourself. I mean, you've got a lot of courage. And I just tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then the guy has been a complete liar on every policy. I mean, he's literally 180-ing on everything before he even gets into office, just throwing it in our face. The guy did go by the other name. Even the mainstream news, before it was an issue, said that. My God, I mean, I guess he's really going to be the president, and he's going to be an imposter. And then this
Not if I can help it. How's that? Not if I can help it, and the citizens all across this great nation who want to stand up for our Constitution and make sure that's what we need people doing. We need people right now to write to every member of the United States Supreme Court and say, hear this case. mean, it's ridiculous that I don't have standing. And also ask the Supreme Court, you know, to make him produce his documentation that he is a natural-born citizen. And if not, you know, let the Supreme Court give instructions back to the lower court to demand that he produce these documents within a short time. And I'm talking he should be able to produce these documents within a week. And if he can't produce them, he should not be sworn in as President of the United States.
Well, again, if I was born in this country and somebody was running around for month after month getting international attention and tens of millions of internet views of their website and their videos, I mean, I would release the birth certificate. And again, the governor came out and said it has his private information for identity theft, his Social Security number. That is a lie on its face. Social Security numbers are not on birth certificates. And back when he was born, you didn't get one until you were 16 or 15 and started working. I mean, that's when I got mine, when I was like 13. It is a lie. And again, everything they do is a lie. And then now they won't release it. And then his followers say, yes, they have. No, that is a receipt. That is a receipt. Is it not, Phil?
Well, it's actually called a certification of live birth. It's supposed to have the same information, although less. But our experts have showed that it is a phony. It's a fraud. It's been altered. And the thing is, even in the document in the upper right-hand corner, the number is blocked off. Why would you block that number off? That number would be a succession number of the document. And when you look at it up close, our experts determined that the name Maya is underneath, M-A-Y-A, you know. So that's why it's a phony document. If he had his birth certificate, put up the birth certificate.
And look at the website they posted it on. Is it true that Answers is tied into the Annenberg Foundation that bankrolls him?
Factcheck.org verified that it's true, but Factcheck.org is owned by Annenberg of Chicago, and that's where he sat on the board. Obama sat on the board there with Bill Ayers. So a little collusion, perhaps, for them to stand up and say
Lord,
this certification of live birth is what it is. You know, it really isn't. So,
well, they're trying to demoralize the country, and when all this comes out, it will. And I just feel sorry for black folks, because when it comes out, just with his policies alone, that this guy's total globalist trash, it's really going to make our first black president look really bad. Phil Berg, we'll talk to you soon. I got my office calling you tomorrow when you get back to Philadelphia, and I appreciate all your time, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Folks should support you at ObamaCrimes.com. Thank you. All right, there goes Phil Berg, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, Paul Watson wrote a big article. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com with what I ranted about back in the first hour of the show today. Kashkari accused of bailout bait and switch during angry hearing. Well, I mean, there's no accused of it. They say, we said we were going to do this with the money. Now we're just keeping it for bonuses. It's up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv, folks. Paul Joseph Watson, Neil Kashkari, the fox appointed to guard the hen house and front the multi-trillion-dollar bailout, faced angry questions from Dennis Kucinich, Representative Daryl Issa, during a hearing today, as Issa accused him of playing a bait-and-switch game with taxpayers' money. Now, for some reason, Paul hasn't, I guess it's not up there yet, Dennis Kucinich introducing him is what we need. I mean, Dennis Kucinich's first grilling and just telling him to stop lying to him is pretty powerful. All the major networks, before I forget, because we've got a guest coming up in about 45 minutes, will you go grab the two clips that Watson does have up on PrisonPlanet.com, John, so I can play these before Dale Rundis joins us? And we will take your calls, too, coming up in a minute, for those that are holding. But will you go grab those, Paul? I mean, you go grab Paul's story, the video clips in it, John?
Sure, I'll grab it.
Thank you. It goes on. All the major networks carried footage of the U.S. House subcommittee hearing this morning and aired Kashkari's opening statement in full. But as soon as Kucinich and Issa were about to weigh in, the networks almost simultaneously cut the feed and moved on to a different story. Another example of how the corporate media is owned by the same elites that run the Federal Reserve. Kucinich accused Paulson and Bush of circumventing Congress by completely changing the destination of where the bailout money would go and refusing to disclose why they had taken without disclosing where it went and what had happened to the $2 trillion of taxpayer money, adding, I think it's fairly obvious that Congress would have never passed the rescue plan had it known how Treasury would marshal the resources it was given. Again, it was not a rescue plan. The bankers orchestrated this. So, of course, they're not going to give it to the people. And, again, I'm against giving it to the people. But if you're going to have socialism and we've got to pay it back in tax money and it's going to devalue our currency, it would help things compared to just giving it to offshore banks to give it to the public. I mean, it makes them dependent. It makes them make bad decisions. I mean, of course the bankers suckered you. Of course they got you in debt and then pulled the economy out from under you. That's how they consolidate and set up the world government they're setting up this weekend, called a New World Order. Kucinich battle with Kashkari went as follows, according to Washington Blogspot report. I assure you, the secretary is passionate about this, Kashkari said. Passionate about what, Kucinich said? About helping homeowners, Kashkari replied. Where? Kucinich asked sarcastically. What country? We are using all the tools available to ease the credit crisis, Kashkari said. Let me give you an example. Kucinich interrupted Kashkari and continued his harangue. Well, because Kashkari had already five or six times with Kucinich refused to answer the question and smiled at him like he'd just eaten a canary, the big Cheshire cat. Look, I mean, the guy looks like the bad guy from The Mummy. Maybe this is a game to some people in the administration. They're on their way out of office, and they can do whatever they want, said Kucinich, who tried to launch impeachment hearings against Bush. Meanwhile, people are hoping against hope for help with their mortgages. Kashkari tried to explain why the $700 billion, now $5 trillion, $2 trillion, they won't tell you where it went. Man, we're going to hear that $700 billion number forever, folks. Kashkari tried to explain why the $700 billion was not used to buy troubled mortgages, but Kucinich would hear none of it. Shortly after, Representative Daryl Issa told Kashkari, you're here today because Congress is convinced you played a bait and switch and you're not doing anything to convince us otherwise. Well, we don't need him to tell us they did a bait and switch. They did it on the record. But see, that's like a few months ago when oil, you know, was 6 months ago when oil was $150 a barrel and it was $4 at the pump and the dollar was plunging. Perino, the White House press secretary, had all the press conference people going, is it true the dollar's been devalued? Can the president tell us? As if they couldn't look at the currency indexes. And she said, I'm not allowed to answer that. I'd be fired if I told you. I mean, just showing a total breakdown at the White House. Because they run nothing. They're puppets. They're just a front. So she's out there kind of throwing a fit on TV saying, I'll be fired if I tell you. Like, we need you to tell us it's a bait and switch. Like, we need you to tell us that the dollar's been devalued. I mean, it's amazing. Look, the article is very important. It's up on prisonplanet.com. Let's go viral with this right now. And as more of the videos come online, we will find them and we will post them in the story for you. But it's important. This is a bait and switch. This is a mass crime. As Ron Paul said a month and a half ago here, they need to be criminally indicted for what they're doing. Kashkari, Paulson, Bernanke, they orchestrated the collapse. Now they are looting us and setting up world government. I mean, here's the New York Times. G20 shaping New World Order. Give me a document cam shot. I want to show the prisonplanet.tv viewers. Well, I got to be careful. I wrote Phil Berg's new cell phone number on this. So let me cover it up. There's the this crazy office in here. There it is. I covered up my doodles and his phone number here. Zoom in on that for you. G20, shaping a new world order. Saving you. You can Google New World Order in Google News. There are 59,000 hits, and it's every newspaper you can imagine saying the banks are taking over. We'll pay taxes to them. That will save us. That will end the recession. These are the bastards that orchestrated it. And I know you, as listeners of this show, are fully aware of that, but the general public is not. So please, everyone, get this story. Kashkari accused of bailout, bait and switch during angry hearing. And I want Paul just to add in here that the bankers are orchestrating this by design and links to all the other great articles he's done and links to the fact that they orchestrated the whole deal. But there it is. Kashkari accused of bailout, bait and switch during angry hearing. Former Goldman Sachs executive grilled by Kucinich and Issa. But right now, let's go ahead and go to your phone calls, those that have been patiently holding since we got Berg on. Okay, who's up first here? There's too many.
Jamie in PA.
Jamie in Pennsylvania. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to make a comment about what these assholes, these guys are doing in Congress.
Hey, I'm going to put you on hold. I need to watch my language, and so do you, and I'm going to let you go because of that. And I need to learn myself not to be like that, even though these things are very bad. But I have to ban people that use any of that. We have a lot of children listening. It's one thing to say smart A, but I shouldn't even do that. It encourages people. This is homeschooling curriculum a lot of places. We are not going to have that here. And you can be mad at me if you want. You can call back tomorrow, but no call today for doing that. Watch your language, folks, or I will cut you off. Okay? Carl in Montreal, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
Good.
I have a short announcement. There's a 9/11 truth event tonight at the University of Toronto at the Sydney Smith Hall starting at 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. There's going to be three speakers. One of them is going to be discussing Canada's role in the so-called War on Terror. There's going to be Mr. Zaremka from 9/11 Truth Buffalo. He's going to be speaking there. I'm just trying to get the word out. People can go on the Internet and look it up and get the word out. So it's a free event. So just trying to pass that word along. Thanks, Alex.
Okay. Thanks for the plug. Appreciate it. Sounds good. Okay, we're going to go to break. And then I'm going to come back and go to Tony in Canada, Kyle in Georgia, Lindsay in Idaho, Rick in Indiana, and many, many others. But again, we got all these mainstream news articles admitting world governance, banking world governments being set up, world government, new world order, G20 to implement global financial dictatorship, prisonplanet.com. They're going to charge you money to use cash, just internet censorship openly being announced. I mean, it is all so important, and it's all coming up today. And we've got some of these clips from this hot hearing this morning coming up as well. Stay with me.
Everyone knows that omega-3 should be an essential part of our daily diet.
Yes, sir.
Let's keep rolling. Okay. No, I mean, we're going to keep rolling here, unless I say not to keep rolling. Talking to Hooj down here. I can keep track of all the people's names, all the nicknames in these offices and people in Minnesota and everywhere else. Hey, John?
Yes, sir.
That's yes, Cobra Commander, to you. No. That's a joke, folks. We were joking the other day about Cobra Commander being the new president. You know, why should I have you download these clips? I can play them here and even stream the video. The problem is my line got cranked or something, and it's been broadcasting in black and white with lines on it, but that's better than nothing. Why don't I just play these clips from here?
Okay, that's fine.
And then why don't you go YouTube search Kashkari or Dennis Kucinich and try to find him introducing him this morning. I want the first thing that Dennis Kucinich says. I want to play that at the end of the show if we have time.
Excellent. I'll try to find that for you.
All right. Fantastic. And then I can just play these clips myself, or you already got them.
I'm almost done recording. I do have the first one, but I can go ahead and send you the links.
Oh, so you do have the first one.
I have the first one. I just have to transfer it over and whatever. But if you want to play the video, I can just send you the link.
Let's do an audio test here with the first clip, because I'm always trying to play it from my... Okay.
It's not quite ready. I just have to...
No, I'm going to do an audio test with me playing it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Here it is.
...improve the market. Then by definition, those assets, if bought at par, have appreciated. Isn't that true?
Well, there are many... Again, with deep respect, Congressman...
Is that too high?
That sounds perfect. That's perfect.
All right. Man, the first clip's the powerful one.
I'll try to find that one.
When Kucinich, I bet I can find it. All right, you look and I look, okay?
Okay.
And I'll just play this from my end. That's right, folks. Total transparency here at PrisonPlanet.tv. Good to see us fumbling around behind the scenes. Mere mortals. Everybody's like, do this, do that. Folks, we're just trying to bring you a good radio show with key information to warn you about what's happening. If people want to give us some big, fat, giant donations or buy more of our products, we can hire more people and do an even better job. Let me see. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich. That's when you know you spell bad, when even the YouTube doesn't fix your spelling. How do you spell Dennis Kucinich? I got Dennis right. Dennis. How do you spell Kucinich? John?
That's Kucinich.
Well done. Okay.
Let me find the today, the latest. Oh, I don't see it here. Drat, double drat.
I'll keep looking, but
maybe I'll look under Kashkari. Well, how did Watson find these lighter clips?
Yeah,
I bet it's under Alex Jones. I bet that's what everything's under that. Like my name is like a. It just means anti-New World Order. It's kind of like a signpost. And when the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the angels. La, 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 la. I can hear it in the background playing. People are like, what in the world? Jones is like singing to nothing out there. I can hear the music they're playing as I'm busy not going back to calls here. All right, whatever. Let's go ahead and go back to the full audience.
All right, I sent you a link. Maybe that's the intro.
Right,
I don't know.
All right, here we go.
Check it out.
Man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come.
All right, let's go to your phone calls here.
And the whirlwind is in the thorn.
Let's go ahead and speak with Tony.
Are all trimming their wicks.
Who's up next? Is it Tony in Canada? Or?
Yep, Tony.
Tony in Canada, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Alex, I'm getting a little freaked out these days. Things are happening so fast. Do you recall about 2 years ago, you were talking about the plan was to basically destroy America's credibility. You know, users point out the Americans as the bad boys, you know, going around blowing things up and everything else and then destroying the economy. Well, doesn't it seem to you that in the pattern of events, and the rate at which they're, you know, progressively increasing, that this is exactly what's being set up right now?
Oh, yeah, they staged 9/11 and then let it come out, but make it look like just the U.S. government did it. They're doing the same thing all over the world right now. And then they have all the world leaders and the Treasury Secretary come out and say, America, he said this 2 days ago, America is sorry that we're bad. We're sorry we caused this to the rest of the world. And they go, that's okay. We'll set up a European banker-run world government to punish you. And they say, that's right. We're going to pay higher taxes because it's our fault. And then the world, out of their anti-Americanism that Bush was designed to create and to bring to a head, they then, whoever says they're anti-American, they'll pile on with. And Europe will now go along with that. Like, we'll show that George Bush. We'll pay carbon taxes on everything we do.
I think they're setting up, you know, this thing with setting up the IMF and the World Bank, which would be a real nightmare. And, you know, a new world order, you know, as an alternative to when the U.S. system does collapse. I mean, people are going to be desperate for, you know, some sort of help, right?
And they're going to give them help. I mean, that's Google New World Order today, and it says headline, you know, CNN, headline, Germany, you know, oh, world government to save economy. Oh, my, global governance, they will fix it. And it says the global government will be the banks. Who did it? They openly do it, and then they openly say, voila, we're the king. If you don't like it, SWAT team, kill them. Oh, you don't like being a slave, SWAT team, kill. SWAT team, I'm tough. Yeah, kill them, evil Americans. Yeah, that's it.
Here's my biggest fear. I don't think that Bush Cheney are finished with us yet. I have a really sinking feeling about November 26th. You know, that's
you think one more little goodie?
I think that, you know, there's a few things lining up for an attack on Iran. Now, that might sound crazy, but you know, that November 26th...
Hey, they could do anything. They snuck attacked Russia 2 months ago. These people are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Stay there. Have you finished when we get back, and more calls straight ahead. Right here on the GCN Radio Network. All right, Tony in Canada... You think they might do a few more things as they leave office. That way it all gets blamed on Bush. And then the media is already saying that Barack Obama can't reverse anything George Bush has done. Just getting the public ready for that when it's a total lie. But don't believe me, I have CNN reporting it 2 days ago. I can play it right now. I mean, just total bull. The Fed chief saying, former Fed chief saying the Fed's above the law. I mean, this is just criminals flaunting it in our faces. Let's go back to Tony in Canada. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Alex. Yeah, it's like these elites. I have the distinct impression it's kind of like, you know, the guys are looting the bank because they know it's going to collapse. The whole thing is coming down. It's been orchestrated. It's been planned. I mean, I remember listening to you 3 or 4 years ago thinking, you know, this guy's a little bit over the top.
I mean, I'm intellectually accurate, but then, and my information is accurate, but no, I have gone crazy knowing the information.
Well, you know, I don't blame you now because, you know, everybody I talk to, I encourage them, I say, you got to listen to this guy because he's got it right. You know, as nasty as it is to hear the bad news and it might ruin your day, you got to know about this stuff, right? And I'm telling all your listeners out there that I think we're going to be lucky to make it through to Christmas.
Well, what's scary is I've never seen them act like this, Tony. I mean, I've never seen a government this wild, this criminal, this out in the open. I mean, not the Nazis, not the Soviets. I mean, this is, when you talk about financial criminal act, I mean, this is openly stealing money right in front of everybody and laughing at us. And then, I mean, there's never been anything like it. And they're openly setting up world government run by the bankers that did it.
Well, I don't know about you, Alex, but I rely a lot on my intuition. And I think when I was listening to you on the election night when Obama got elected, you know, all day I was walking around with that real sinking feeling. I haven't felt that bad in a long time. It was kind of like, you know, okay, this is it. It's here.
And again, it wasn't because it was a black guy. It was watching the zombies, the slickness of the speech, like a Hollywood movie with epic music playing when he had his victory speech. It all was staged, I've had this feeling of dread now for about 6 months, but it intensified that night, and now it's just resolved to fight it. But yeah, dread. I am dreading what's happening. I appreciate your call. Good points. Let's talk to Rick in Indiana. Rick, you're on the air.
I never go. Listen, man, I want to tell you, I went to Barack Obama's speech in South Bend, Indiana, when he came to Washington High School, and the very first thing he did, was he congratulated Tim Romer for all the hard work that he did on the 9/11 Commission. That was the very first thing that he did, right then and there. And I went there not to support him. I went there just to hear what he had to say. I wanted to hear what this guy had to say. I wanted to hear him speak. I wanted to see what the vibe was like. I want to see what the big rush was about.
Oh, they're saying we're going to be tested, and they're going to blow a bunch of stuff up, and he's going to grandstand, and all the conservatives are going to love him, and then they're going to start arresting people. Go ahead.
Well, and one of the other things, when you had the colonel on, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, he made some really good points, man, that I think that a lot of us are missing out on. The secondary war is actually the one that's here in our skin. The other war started a long time ago. And that's what people need to realize. And I've talked to you before, and I've told you before, man, just keep your heart soft as much as you can. And you have gone nuts before, and that's great. I understand the emotional side. And actually, it was when you dressed up like Darth Vader a long time ago that got me hooked on you, because I thought, who is this guy? And I have to commend you, man, because you know what? You've inspired me to be a man of truth, a man to seek out truth in all things. And, you know, you're a wise man, Alex. You're a wise man. And to be honest, I don't know how in the world your wife puts up with you, because I guarantee you're not leaving this stuff.
Hold on just a minute there. All right, I want to go to some of your phone calls, but I promise to air some of these clips. And these aren't even the best ones that we found, but we're getting some of the most powerful clips. And tomorrow I'll play more of them. We have a guest coming up in about 22 minutes. and also want to get to a few of your calls. So let's go ahead and play this short clip. And this short clip is just a response after Kashkari, after 20 minutes of talking to one of the other congressmen, will never answer any of the questions. So here it is.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Just to Mr. Cummings, I don't know how to work any harder than we're already working. And I take your feedback very seriously. That's why we're working as hard as we are, and we're just going to keep doing and trying to accomplish and meet your expectations.
Thank you very much. If I may take the prerogative as chair to say, I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for. That will conclude this first panel. I want to thank you for your presence here. As Mr. Cummings said, I know that it cannot have been easy. You've been answering questions for over 2 hours.
I'm sorry. I got to play that again. I mean, folks, this went on for 4 hours, and I only got to watch an hour of it. And these are the clips I'm seeing from later in the hearing. The question is, who are you working for? This is Congress Questions. Who are you working for, Mr. Cashman? We're going to get this up in the Paul Watson story, so it's easy to find at theprisonplanet.com story he wrote. I've got to play this again. This is just unbelievable. I mean, I love it. This is the type of stuff. You're criminals. You don't work for us. We know you're scamming us. We don't want your New World Order. And they can't blow up all the congressmen's airplanes. They can't have martial law everywhere. If we just stand up and say, the emperor's wearing no clothes, you are criminals, you are the New World Order, we could arrest all these people. We could have our country and our world back. But until you get up off your butts out there and stop living in denial, it ain't going to happen. Now, you want a carbon tax? You want a world government? You want tattletale squads and spies watching everything you do? Then keep sucking your thumbs, America. Get rid of the baseball, the football. Stop spending your time being blobs. Get involved in real issues, or it's over. Your children's future's over. Your future's over. You're not going to have to wait until the future like we kept warning you. We're here now. Punch it back up, please.
Mr. Kashkari, do you have any response? Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Just to Mr. Cummings, I don't know how to work any harder than we're already working. And I take your feedback very seriously. That's why we're working as hard as we are, and we're just going to keep doing and trying to accomplish and meet your expectations.
Thank you very much. If I may take the prerogative as chair to say, I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for. That will conclude this first panel. I want to thank you for your presence here. As Mr. Cummings said, I know that it cannot have been easy. You've been answering questions for over 2 hours. And the committee will take note that you have engaged in a thoughtful Q&A here. So we appreciate it. Just want you to know. It's much appreciated. And we understand the burdens of your office. So we're going to thank Mr. Kashkari for his presence here. And we're going to move on to the second panel. I would ask the witnesses from the second panel to come to the committee table. And thank you again, Mr.
Stay tuned. Kashkari gets some feedback from attendees as he departs. Get ready to hear this. They're not buying your garbage anymore, you little arrogant criminal.
Kashkari, for your presence, sir.
Gene, a few minutes.
The committee will take a five-minute recess while the table is set up for the second panel.
Testing.
The
the policy subcommittee taking a break after 2 hours of testimony by Neil Kashkari on how the Treasury Department.
All right, folks, that is one of the clips. Let me now go to some of the other clips. John, it's a good thing that you have it all up there in your computer, because my computer's acting weird, and I want to play this out of the network computer. Do you have that first clip that I sent you?
I just have to transfer it over, and it'll be ready in 2 seconds.
All right. We'll play that from your end. And again, tomorrow I'll have all these clipped down and down to specific parts. I mean, I've only been able to watch an hour of it live this morning. It just ended about an hour ago. But here is one of the clips right now for you. This is where Congressman Issa is trying to nail him down. And the way he lies and weevils and never answers the question, you got to watch the body language. Radio takes a lot away from this, but you can watch the videos up at prisonplanet.com. Here it is.
Okay, my computer just froze.
Secondly, it has been said that your purchases of $250 billion plus of preferred stock is at a price that would not be market competitive, meaning you paid too much. Tell me why I'm to believe for a minute that those preferred stocks that you bought, you could resell today for anything close. Remember, the market has improved. You've said that. Tell me what the profit would be on those preferred stocks if you began putting even $1 of them into the market today.
Congressman, I don't know what the price would be.
Okay, well, you're from Goldman Sachs.
I used to work there.
Okay, well, I'm from Directed Electronics. You're from your last job. If you tell me that you've improved the market, then by definition, those assets, if bought at par, have appreciated. Isn't that true?
Well, there are many, again, with deep respect, Congressman, there are many different markets. There's the equity market. There's the credit markets. I think there are strong signs. I can walk you through data showing the credit markets improving. The equity markets, we purchased equity. The equity
you
markets are
you purchased a debt instrument.
Well, it's Tier 1 capital, Congressman.
You know, we can go ring around the rosy here, but you're here today because Congress is feeling that you played a bait-and-switch game. And you're not convincing anyone that you haven't. But let's just try to go to the fundamentals. You bought preferred stock.
Yes, sir.
Preferred stock is a debt instrument. You're capitalizing the company, but you're capitalizing with a debt instrument. Those instruments trade. I have BB&T. I have, I have a number of debt instruments of that sort. They have, in fact, appreciated from the time you bought till today in various portfolios. So I'm looking at those, and I'm following a lot more of those kinds of instruments. They have appreciated. So my question to you today, under oath, as someone who should know about this, is, are your purchases above par today, in your opinion?
Candidly, Congressman, I don't know. We have an independent valuation firms that are going to provide regular reporting on the current valuation.
Regular reporting starting when? You're here today. Do you have any regular reporting from the day you bought them till today?
We've published the reports to the Treasury website within 48 hours of completing the transactions on the terms. And then right now we're in the process. Just yesterday, the equity asset manager solicitations concluded. And we've received, I think, hundreds of proposals. We'll be engaging the equity asset managers who will be providing us the valuation services and the reporting to the Congress on a go-forward basis.
Well, wouldn't it be reasonable for us to believe here today that if, in fact, you have improved the market, that those assets that you purchase, we'll call them equity since they're a hybrid, have appreciated?
I think they'd be reasonable relative to the day that we bought them.
Okay,
I think
so if we find out on the next report, which I hope is forthcoming, and we will be looking for it, that they are below par, then in fact you paid too much, right?
Well, again, it depends, Congressman, what our objective was. Our objective was to create a program that would encourage thousands of banks across our country to voluntarily apply and to use the capital. And so we intentionally made it attractive for them to want to apply.
So you believe here today that you had authority to subsidize banks, including providing them this capital at a below par, a below fair market, of a market that should have existed but didn't exist?
Well, Congressman, as you know, the market when we did this was, there was no market. Company, most banks couldn't raise private capital.
Yeah, but we're in a better market today. You understand, one of the reasons for the question is you've thrown $350 billion, including AIG and so on, out there. You're coming back for another $350 billion. If, in fact, what we discover, and I believe here today, is that your $350 billion, and let's just look at $250 billion. We'll leave AIG, which is a whole other can of worms, aside. If that money, in fact, is a subsidy arriving at a price below the fair market price, thus causing banks to choose you, including banks in my district, choose you instead of other capital, all you've really done is give them a discount capital. Now, the reason I ask that is, how large is the capital base necessary for the banking industry?
And they go on to say $55 trillion, so this does nothing. They're just stealing the money in the final equation, and they won't tell us where $2 trillion went. We'll be right back after this quick break right here on the GCN Radio Network with a lot more. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here with a
Alex
question.
Jones what here to go back to the calls, to John. Let's go ahead and take some calls. And let me explain, callers. You're not on the AM and FM now. You're not on the shortwave or satellite, but you're on the Internet with tens of thousands listening on the audio, thousands watching on the video, and so it will then be posted at prisonplanet.tv. It'll be ripped to YouTube, so you will live on forever with your comments. It's better to go to you behind the scenes than never get to your calls. So that is what I'm doing right now. Let us go ahead and talk to Kyle in PA, Lindsay, Josh, Blake. I'm going to get to you guys before the show ends today of the Hair Lips, the Admiral. Kyle, you're on the air.
Kyle just dropped.
Well, then I'm not going to get to him whether the Hair Lips, the Admiral. Let's talk to Lindsay in Idaho. You're on the air, Lindsay.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
Good.
Kind of off the subject on the bailout, but I had gotten some information and read about it, and I'm sure you've heard of the red list, blue list, FEMA thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, of course, got on Google, found out, you know, different things on that, and this is just for some people. It's interesting to me about the location of FEMA camps, and they, you know, they have them listed state by state of all these FEMA camps.
Oh, yeah, and the FEMA admits they have it, and then people never will go look at it. And when you finally show them a camp, they go, well, that's not a concentration camp. It's only a whole dissenter.
Alex, this is perfect. You're familiar with Google Earth, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
When you try to look them up, they're blacked out.
Pardon?
When you try to look them up, they're grayed out.
Oh, no. No, I'm looking at one right now that will blow your mind. I live in Idaho, so curious enough, I look down the list, and there's Idaho, and there's one that's listed. It's called, and if anybody cares to look it up, because I'm looking at it now, so I can to tell about this, it's called Moose Creek. It's right by the Montana state line. It says, this unmanned facility is reported to have a nearby airfield. So I went to Google Earth, typed in Moose Creek, Idaho, and right now I'm looking at an elevation of 6,674 feet, and there is the most incredible airstrip on the top of these mountains, and there is a facility just north of the airstrip, a bridge to the south of it. And if people don't believe that some of these things are in remote locations, I highly advise them to go look at this one. It will blow your mind. This thing is so remote, it's incredible.
And you can see the barbed wire fences and guard towers?
Well, no. Now, that's the next part. This is what really has made me curious. I've been watching in this aerial view and going from different directions for, probably 3 or 4 hours over the last few days. And at the north end of the airstrip are two obvious facilities, but there's no barbed wire fencing or anything of any nature of that. But there's two distinct facilities. You can see them from about 2,300 feet. After that, the resolution starts to get a little crummy. Anyway, my point being is this particular facility is easily seen And also, it then if you Google out, if you scope out and go to an altitude of like, oh, about airplane flying height, about 35,000 feet or so, this place is so remote. The only way to get into it is this airstrip or by horseback.
Well, I mean, it's been in the Associated Press. They built forced labor camps in the forest of Idaho and Oregon, and it's been on the news there, and it's been all over the news that they have the civilian inmate labor camp programs, 24 of them they list, secretly with American citizens in them since 86, now declassified, that they kept Americans in camp secretly. What people should do is go photograph these, go videotape these, and then do articles about them. Because a lot of folks are going and showing the camps with the guard towers, but then they don't show that they went there off a government document. Then people then say, oh, that's not a real camp. So we need you guys to go out and research it. I appreciate your call. Here we go. Welcome to your life.
There's no turning back.
No. All right, here's Representative Elijah Cummings. He really pegged. He really reached out to Representative of the Treasury Department, Kashkari. And Kashkari wouldn't answer his questions. So I'm going to go ahead and play some of that for you right now from the hearings this morning. $5 trillion stolen. They won't even tell you where $2 trillion went. The public's told it's $700 billion, and they're giving none of it to where they swore to give it to get the economy going. They're keeping all of it while locking down the currency and the credit to destroy the economy. So here it is.
The chair recognizes Mr. Cummings. You may proceed.
Mr. Kashkari, I'm still listening carefully. Now, just let me ask you a few questions. One of the reasons why I voted for the bailout, very reluctantly held my nose, closed my eyes, and prayed, is because President-elect Obama at that time had assured me that if he were elected president, that he would work on making sure that the people that might be losing their houses through foreclosure would be helped. If President Obama came to you, so I don't know how long you're going to be around, so I assume somebody's going to ask Paulson or somebody this question. But if President-elect Obama came to you and said, give me your best advice as to how I can help people who are facing foreclosure, what would you tell him?
Congressman, that's a very important question that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. The best thing I think we can do as a country to help the housing market and avoid foreclosures is to bring mortgage rates down for borrowers so they can refinance into long-term sustainable mortgages that they can afford. And the way to do that, partly what we did with stabilizing Fannie and Freddie, was to stabilize mortgage finance. And some of the actions we're looking at trying to get credit flowing again is to bring rates down for our consumers. If we can bring mortgage rates down, as you know.
Now, again, just to be clear, this went on for 4 hours. In fact, it's still going on. They're just on to a new part of the hearing. I thought this was what, from the start of the hearing, the stuff at the start is 10 times more powerful than all of this. And wait till I find that on the web. I know listeners heard the show, went and grabbed what was on later. And this has been important as well, but tomorrow I am definitely going to have for you the start of the hearing. C-SPAN.org has the earlier start of the hearing, but the video's not playing. It's getting so many hits, and we can't get it. But I have it recorded here. Tomorrow we're going to have the first 30 minutes of that hearing for you, and just the whole interchange. We'll air it unedited in between the breaks. You know, the breaks will break it up. But I'm going to play it continuously so you can hear what went on and what happened. I mean, just to get the idea, because I watched it for an hour this morning, of how Kashkari is a complete snake. This is a bunch of babble. So let's skip ahead and see what the because the congressman really was powerful when he first talked to him. I don't even know what this is right here.
No, Congressman, our housing system is
very volatile.
Do.
Skipping ahead of the congressman.
You know, we have a very volatile. Let me go back to Fannie Mae and Freddie.
Please.
I'd asked you before a little bit earlier about how this loss, this announcement on Monday, the $29 billion loss, affects, if at all, what you are trying to do to help the homeowner through Fannie Mae. Does it affect it?
Well, excuse me, sir, not directly. We had, when we took our actions in July and August to stabilize Fannie and Freddie, we expected big losses to come, and so we sized these $100 billion contracts to be big enough to deal with those losses. So we're not surprised by it. We knew they were coming, and we don't think that that directly affects what we can do with Fannie and Freddie.
Now, you know, I was intrigued by Mr. Ice's questions, and I want to give you a broader question sort of hooked up with his. You know, you all have to make some tough decisions as to where this $700 billion is going. And the American people, and this is what I hear at the supermarket and at the gas station when I run into my neighbors, they think that there's a whole line of people who are lined up with their hands out. They're looking at GM. They're looking at all these other folks who are saying, government, bail us out. And I want to know two things. One, what goes into the decision-making with regard to, you know, the bailing out? I know you guys.
All right, I'm going to keep playing it during the break. Go ahead and get Daryl Rundeson. You got his number, right?
He's all set and ready.
Okay, great. Here we go.
Certain strictures you got to go by. And how do you all try to make sure that whatever the objective is, it happens? In other words, do you need more authority from us? Because I got to tell you, one of the most disappointing things for me is when you all gave the banks money, and then I read the next day that a lot of the banks were not going to be loaning money, and I understand what you were trying to do, loaning money, and that they were going to use the money to acquire other banks. They were going to use the money to, you know, not make the cuts that they needed to make and all that kind of stuff. So now we face a situation with GM. And a lot of us are saying, you know what, one out of every 10 jobs is connected with the automobile industry. We want to make sure that we don't lose a GM or lose any of our automobile companies because they are so important to our economy. But at the same time, the American people are saying, And we want to make sure that if they got some money, that they move towards making sure they're energy efficient cars and they're competitive and all that. So how do you all, you know, say, okay, we're going to give, like Mr. Eisen was saying, you're going to give to this company, you're going to give to this bank. How are you going to do that? And so what is the objective, and how do you make sure the objective is achieved? In other words, you can't guarantee, but create the best possible circumstance to have it achieved, and do you need more authority from us to achieve that? Because I'm going to tell you, the American people are running out of patience, and, you know, my friends, Mr. Issa and Mr. Kucinich, voted against the legislation. I'm going to tell you, I ventured against most of us wanted to vote against it, even the ones that voted for it. So I'm trying to figure out how do you do that? You follow me? Because at some point, the Congress is going to say, sorry, no more. Because you know what? The American people are saying it already.
So, Congressman, these are very good questions, and let's talk through them. I appreciate you asking them. First of all, if you look at the capital program.
No, let's not hear from you. Now, you see that Congressman not getting it. That bill said they could rob and steal all the money. The bill already said that in it. Okay, and the bankers are the ones that engineered all of this. They don't care about anybody, Congressman Cunningham. They don't care what the American people want. It's about control. They want an imploding economy so they can control the population. And he says, do you need more authority? They already have unlimited criminal fiat authority. They set all this up. They're going to tell the public we need more authority, world government authority run by the bankers to fix all of this.
949-3570.
John, you got both ISDN lines connected, and I'm not getting audio on the main Comrex.
Okay, I can go ahead and switch over to the backup.
You're not sending me audio on it, that's why. So go ahead and send me audio on it.
Okay, here we go.
What if I say you're not just another one of your place? You're the pretender. What if
right, folks, we are back live. I want to go right to Daryl Rundis. Daryl's had a long, interesting life, done a lot of things. I don't know how much he wants to get into himself on air, but I'll let him introduce himself. And he has some ideas. A lot of people have ideas of things we need to do, but he's also contributed to what we do here financially, and we appreciate him. He's thought of ideas to try to create an InfoWars boot camp that we do every 3 or 4 months. Have folks come in from all over the country, go through basic training of how to go out and fight the New World Order, basic ideas, maybe press passes or something, because he set up an organization that has trained, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of Christians to go out and win souls effectively. And he's really convinced me, you know, he's a salesman in his own right and has one of the largest, companies out there with direct marketing. He's the guy that started the stuff in the grocery store where you see the, you walk in, the people are there with the shirt and tie and they're, saying, hey, get a T-shirt when you sign up for the Austin American Statesman or the Dallas Morning News, the LA Times, whatever. And, so he's got some good ideas. I'm just busy trying to, grow my organization up so I can do things like that right now. We're so busy with the task at hand that I end up, never getting around to that. But he wanted to, he's wanting me to talk about it on air or brainstorm about it, so I thought I'd get him up about it. But also just about the nature of the New World Order and his awakening and Daryl saying that Christians need to stop being phony Christians and not fighting tyranny. And then just saying God's going to handle it all when God tells us to go out and take action against evil. And I always butcher his story, his parable of the eyes being the wind of the soul. So maybe he'll also, tell that in its proper form the way he told it to me. Daryl, it's good to have you here with us on the air.
Oh, hey, Alex, it's my privilege and honor, man. I thank God for you, and I know I speak for millions of people out there who never get the opportunity to tell you face-to-face or call-to-call that, man, we truly do thank God for you and what you're doing. We know it's not easy. And, man, you'd like your previous caller had online there said, I'm sure you don't leave it at the office. I'm sure your wife has to be a big part of it, too. So we thank God for her and the sacrifices she makes to make what you do possible. Man, you woke me up a few years ago, so I'm honored to be on your show now. But I got to tell you, you've also inspired me to start a whole new business. You're supposed to say, what business is that?
What business is that, Daryl?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Alex. Hey, I'm going to go into the demolition business. And since it was so easy for those buildings on 9/11 to come down in free fall speed just due to fires, I decided I'm going to start my own demolition company. Instead of using explosives, I'll save millions. I'll just knock a couple holes in the side of the building, light it on fire. And, man, within an hour, the building will come down, and I'll make millions.
No, that's a great system. I think we ought to do that.
Well, it worked so good on 9/11, right? That's what the government would have us believe. So, we might as well just go in the demolition business together. We'll just go get a couple wrecking balls and knock a couple holes in the side of the building, pour a bunch of kerosene inside, set it on fire, kick back, roast marshmallows, and make our money.
I know. It's revolutionizing the demolition business. All you need is a Bic lighter and knock out a few windows, and it magically happens. Now, Daryl, before we run out of time, we were having dinner one time down here in Austin. You're up in Dallas there and back and forth from Dallas to Hawaii with your businesses. But you were giving me the parable of we were talking about people that sell out to the New World Order, and you gave the analogy of somebody selling their eyes.
Well, let me explain that. In fact, let me kind of take it a step back just one second, because I know there's so much to talk about in so little time. I believe, like the Colonel believes and spoke of yesterday, this isn't just a battle of flesh and blood against the New World Order. It's also a battle for souls. I became a Christian about 6 years ago, not by choice, but because of the evidence, that supported the Bible and, prophecy, history, archaeology. And now, when you wake up to that and you realize there is a God, he has a son, he is our Savior, he died on the cross for our sins and so on, you come to realize what Jesus said in the most popular speech of all time in the Sermon on the Mount, that fear not the one who can kill the body and after that do no more. Fear the one who can not only kill the body, but after that have your whole soul cast into hell. So we know that all the puppets, all the elite, all those people in power that are really perpetuating this on the people, their headmaster is Satan. There was a guy named Lester Crowley years and years and years ago who wrote the Book of the Law, and it's a book still used by satanic worshipers today for their rituals and their rites. And there's only one law, That is, do what thou will. Do whatever you want to do. Do it your way. Have it your way. And the American people have really fed into that. I mean, we're the biggest consumers on this planet, and we buy into that covetous nature. And so, really, what Satan wants is your soul. This isn't a battle to see who's going to win or lose in the end. We know there is a God. You're going to have to give an account on that day. Without the righteousness of Christ, you'll perish. So in order to help people understand the value of what we're dealing with here, and that if you truly, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're an atheist, I've never met an unreasonable person who doesn't at least believe in the golden rule, that you ought to treat others the way you'd want to be treated. And the government is lining people up to be ready. I'm no prophet, but I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to go down. When they collapse this financial, you know, whole market, what they're going to do is they're saying, hey, Alex, we know, you know, you had $100,000 in the bank, and we're sorry that we can't give you your money. But I tell you what, we're going to this global system. It's a new global world. It's a new world order. It's a global economy. In order to get your 100,000 global credit, you need to take this chip so that you can get plugged into the system. And at that point in time, it's going to be, hey, you can take the chip and get your money and get your goods and be part of the system, or you can and basically take the mark of the beast and end up going to hell. So, I mean, really, that's what we're faced with. And the fact of the matter is, I've yet to meet a sane person who would trade their eyes for $1 million, $10 million, $100 million. I ask people all the time. In fact, I'll challenge anybody that's in their right mind to call in and say, hey, I'll take Daryl up on the offer. $1 million, I'll trade both my eyes. They'll go down, we'll have surgery, they'll take their eyes out, they'll have $1 million, but they'll be blind. Nobody would do that. Why? Your eyes are valuable, they're precious, right? They're irreplaceable. But if they're merely the windows for your soul to look out of, how much more is the soul worth? So, but you can't put a price tag on somebody's soul, and that's really what woke me up. And I guess you could call today my coming out party, Alex, because like you and many others, when you first wake up, you go, wow, I get it, I need to do something. What can I do about it? And we all know there's a new world order. We know about the Illuminati. We know about our corrupt politicians, other puppets, you know. The question is, what are we going to do about it? I'm not about problems. I didn't succeed in business because I focused on the problem. I focused on solutions. And that's why I approached you, because I thought, well, we need to do something to help equip these people. If you push a soldier into battle armed with a feather duster, they're not going to be very courageous. But if you arm them with state-of-the-art weapons and you give them great training on how to use those weapons, I'm talking figuratively, not literally, then they can battle and do it courageously. But, man, this isn't just a battle for souls. You know, I wouldn't, in fact, when I witness Alex, I don't just walk up there and say, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus didn't do that. You start in the natural, and then you work to the spiritual. And one great springboard is what's going on in the world economy today, what's going on with our government today. I mean, one great segue question you can always ask somebody is, hey, are you happy with the way the government's, you know, serving you today? And, of course, what, 9 out of 10 are going to say, no, man, they suck, they're horrible, they're terrible, and say, yeah, well, do you know why? And you can open up that door of conversation. And,
absolutely, and really because, you know, people, talking, I mean, even the way I approach people on the street, you know, the way 9/11 truthers do, we are changed, not all of them, but some, you know, we approach it a lot of times yelling, screaming, aggressively. You know all the, I don't want to call them tricks, just systems to really get people to stop and think. And I've seen you. I mean, you really are a, you know, top flight salesman. That's why you're so successful and have a, you know, $100 million company or more. I mean, explain to people some of the little tactics you use versus what people that aren't thinking about how to wake people up. I mean, compare those
well,
two.
Well, it all starts with this, Alex, as we talked about. Our motive when we witness, okay, or when you go to just wake people up about the truth of the New World Order, to never be any more or any less than love. It always has to be founded in love. Why? Because if you do it just to win an argument or because you think they ought to know or whatever, your job isn't to wake them up. Your job is to give them good, strong, factual information and to do it with love and gentleness and respect and patience. And if you do that, then it's up to them. You give them the information, it's up to them if they receive it. And that's why, you know, I speak out today to all the Christians who call themselves Christians, because every true blue Bible-believing Christian that I know, that I've talked to, and I've traveled the world and I work with major ministries, many of which you know and see on TV, and I tell you the truth, they all sense in their spirit that we're living in the last days, which means that there's an imminent return of Christ that's going to happen, okay? And yet, when you talk to them about how the stage is being set, how biblical prophecies are being fulfilled right
before
our
eyes. Well, let me say this. They think,
oh, that Alex Jones, he's that guy, that cretin from, you know, Planet Pop-Tart, you know?
Yeah.
They don't connect, and it's a shame, because if they truly believe what the Bible says, then, and that this is a battle for souls, there is a Satan, he is the ruler of this world, then they ought to, at least if they loved anybody, family, friends, strangers even, if they love people the way Jesus loved people, they'd be warning them. They'd be talking to them. So love is our motive. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. I know from my own personal experience, I'm always afraid, and why I was reluctant to come on your show initially and so on, is what will people think? What will people say? What will people do? What will I say? You know, I don't know what to say, or it's just too difficult. They'll think I flipped out.
Well, let me just back up for a minute, and I mean, interrupt you in the time we have, Daryl. We'll have you back up, because I asked you to come on months ago. I said you ought to do a radio show, as everybody else has told you, but you haven't done it, but you should do one. But I know you're a very busy guy, because you're extremely articulate and really make your points well. Speaking of Bible prophecy, I don't mean the phony churches, folks, and the, you know, all the stuff we see and the, you know, ridiculousness.
No, we don't want those telemarketers saying, give me 1,000, God will give you 10.
Sure. What we're talking about is, why did the world government, why is the UN setting up 10 kingdoms? They call it 10 kingdoms. Why do they use terminology that's all about Lucifer and world government? Why are they pushing that we take chips? Why are they setting up that exact system? Go ahead.
Well, exactly, because just like Aleister Crowley taught, keep in mind, this wasn't a guy who didn't believe in God. He wasn't an atheist. He was called the evilest man of his day. He was a pedophile. He's wicked. He's responsible for the biggest rebellion and devil worship kind of music and stuff that we've seen in our modern day generation, okay? He said, hey, I don't have a problem with the Plymouth Brethren, referring to Christians. He says, I can't imagine a society who didn't believe in God or Jesus. I just chose to serve the other side. He wasn't content just to serve Satan. He said he wanted to be his chief of staff, and that's where these guys are. Look, Satan holds the keys to earth and the power and the wealth, and, you know, because God's not into material stuff, okay? He doesn't even like religion. He likes relationship. So the bottom line is these guys do this. I mean, that's just one in many prophecies. I mean, you can go to Daniel 12, where Daniel said in the last days knowledge will be increased greatly. I mean, think about it. How fast could we travel back in Jesus' day? By horse. In George Washington's day, a couple thousand years later, by horse. No improvement in technology, but in our lifetime, we've seen the internet, we've seen radio, we've seen car assembly, spaceships, satellites, you name it. No, there's thousands of biblical prophecies that are being unfolded right before our eyes.
And it said people will run to and fro continually. Look at the highways, the roads.
And in particular, as far as, you know, I wanted to bring this up today, it's real important, false flag terrorism. Well, there's a biblical precedent for that. And Christians ought to wake up to that reality that 911 is and could be an inside job, very likely is an inside job. Why? Nero did the same thing to the Christians. He set his own, you know, city on fire, and then he fiddled all night. And what did he do? He blamed the Christians. So Christians ought to be in particularly aware of what's going on and how likely it is for a government to do a self-inflicted wound in order to blame another party. In fact, and I wanted to bring this up because nobody's brought this up on your show, and I thought it was very intriguing, went over almost, that I've met, Americans' heads. In the very first debate between Obama and McCain, they asked McCain, I think it was the second question the moderator asked, are we safer today than we were a day after 9/11? He gave a very precarious answer. Go look it up on YouTube. It's there. He says, and I quote, Joe Lieberman and I started the 9/11 commission, and we were stymied and stifled by the administration, and it wasn't until the families came forward that an investigation took place. Now, unquote. Now, that begs the question, why? Why would, I mean, this isn't some conspiracy theory, this isn't Alex Jones, this isn't somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. This is potentially, at that time, the next president of the United States acknowledging that the Bush administration did not want to investigate 9/11. Why? Why wouldn't you investigate the biggest, most horrific terrorist attack in the history of the world? There's got to be a reason. That they would uncover something? Of course they would.
Why would they fight? Why would they fight to cover everything up? Why would they be so secretive with the steel? Why would they take the three black boxes they did find of the four that were in the planes and at the towers, and firefighters found them, and they took them?
You guys have been talking about that for years now. You predicted it. You said it was going to happen. And a lot of people don't believe it. They don't buy. They think it's a lie. They rather believe the official story that the government feeds them and buy that propaganda. But frankly, I wanted to read something to you today, and I don't know if we have time.
Go ahead.
I would just encourage the listeners to go. Here's a little bit of prophecy and some prophecy and some words of encouragement for you in particular, Alex, because we know you're the point of spear of this whole movement. So, but listen to this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4. It says, mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People, now see if this sounds like our generation, okay? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, man, you deal with that every day on your show, without self-control, brutal, look, think about the brutality of the crimes we see against children today, not lovers of the good. See, people today don't even care about good. All they care about is moving up, right? They don't care whose back they got to stab to move up the corporate ladder. They do it all the time. They're treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. It says, have nothing to do with them. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with all kinds of sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Also learning, but now this is an interesting, it fits our generation as well. Also forever learning, but unable to acknowledge the truth. We live in the information age. People are learning faster than
they Yeah, they have
before,
all the info to prove it to them, but they don't. They still deny it, as every newspaper announces, world government's born, oven by the banks, and they say, nope, doesn't exist.
Well, and that's what's interesting. Listen to this. This is starting chapter 4. This is, keep in mind, this is Apostle Paul's last book of the Bible that he wrote. Okay, he's in prison. He's waiting to be executed. He's writing this to his disciple Timothy. Last, it's kind of like his last will and testament. He says, in the presence of God, in the view of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine or truth. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn aside to myths and fairy tales. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the full duties of your ministry. In other words, look, there's nothing more important any of us can do who are believers than to use this information to wake people up so it leads them to the knowledge of the truth that their soul may be saved. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you love somebody, if you care about somebody, if I'm walking down the street and I see a stranger's house on fire and I don't even know the guy, and I have the opportunity to go in there and get him out, I'm under a moral obligation to do that.
Daryl, you are. Final segment straight ahead, but for the InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.tv listeners and viewers, we're going to talk right now.
It is a big...
Daryl?
Yeah, so the bottom line is simply this. Look, if we love people, we're going to pursue with all passion, waking these people up, talking to them, sharing with them, caring enough to share this information. You don't get rejected. Don't get sad when they reject you, okay? Because the power's not in the messenger. It's in the message. What you got to do is be a faithful farmer and just sow those seeds of information to people, and then people respond or they don't. And when we come back from the break, I definitely want to share, what to answer your question, Alex, 4 simple steps to help anybody effectively communicate their message.
All right, we'll do that. But, you know, speaking to folks that, that love the lie, they do it because they're scared at the end of the day. And I think the key.
Right.
I mean, I think the key is to explain to them they should be more concerned about not, while they're alive this one time, doing the right thing and helping others, and that they're unhappy because they love worldliness. Not that I'm perfect here, folks, but and that they love the system, and so of course they're not fulfilled. But as soon as they start loving good, then they'll start growing in the opposite direction, away from evil towards good, and it'll get stronger and stronger. Go ahead.
Well, I think really before anybody can have power over the sin that we've all been infected with, I mean, think about it, it's the old devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other, right? We want to do what's good. God gave us a conscience. We know what's right from wrong. Yet sometimes we get tempted and we do what we know we ought not to do. So no one sins without knowledge. In fact, the word conscience, con means with, science means knowledge. So with knowledge, every time you do something you shouldn't, you do it with knowledge. So I don't think anybody really has the power to turn from that nature, that sin nature, until Christ comes and changes their heart. Because when God changes a person's heart, and that to me is the greatest testimony of all, that God is real and Jesus is the Son of God, because only he has the power to save someone's soul and change a person's heart.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to talk some about, on air, you've got a great idea. I need to do it. People have asked me to do it. I just am almost afraid of leading organizations because I don't like particularly being a leader. Just to finish up for listeners out there who want to understand what I'm saying, I also, the infiltrators, You have to deal with those. I mean, people come in this office and just make up anything after they leave.
Alec, yeah. I totally appreciate where you're coming from, and I understand your concerns completely. But just as those infiltrators within the CIA and any other organizations, you're never going to be able to weed those out. But it shouldn't stop you from the mission of equipping and empowering these people to take this place back.
No, I know. It's a very important mission. I'll have to have you up next week. The big thing is I'm trying to get my office done, which I'm almost done in the next few weeks, and then I could do events like that. This thing I'm in is tiny. You've been here. Here we go, Daryl. Final segment. I hope that people out there listening will go check out PrisonPlanet.tv. We've got a deal for 5+ months free right now at PrisonPlanet.tv, and it's a factory, an armory of resistance. Download, burn all my films, TV reports, special reports, thousands of them, to disc on every issue, subject you can imagine, and give them to people. You know all about what's happening, but your neighbors, your friends, your family don't. And right now, they're more open to the truth than they've ever been. So all of you out there who may have tried to wake people up 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, a year ago, got laughed at, keep moving like Daryl Runda said. Keep planting the seeds. Daryl, I got to have you up sometime next week for a full hour. In fact, I'll just call you right after the show. And I know I procrastinated calling you back lately because I wanted to keep writing up a plan before I talked to you again. And then I would never get the plan done. So I'm glad you really called into the show yesterday to push us along, because I know we need to form more like a school or whatever, and then, but so we don't have liability, then after they leave, they're not our creatures. It's like, okay, you've got this idea, now go do what you want, you know, to try to teach people how to really fight the New World Order. We got about 3 minutes left. Tell folks, you know, kind of those steps you've learned.
Okay, basically, what I'd like to do, Alex, and what we're talking about, just to fill in the gaps for the listeners, is to do an on-site training. I have roll up your sleeves, get in the trenches, big-time battle, you know, against the New World Order. You know, get 50, 60, 100 people, take them under our wing, show them what's up, and those who qualify, send them home, let them become what we call local leader. We can form an organization. In fact, I already incorporated the Truth News Network so that they can all then continue to duplicate themselves. I mean, that's what we have to do. You can't do everything. I can't do everything. Individually, we're nothing. But the sum of the total parts are always greater than the individual parts. So, you know, the sum total is always greater, and we need to facilitate that. That's what I'm saying. So we just need to give people the tools they need to succeed and teach them and train them so that they'll be empowered to face their fears and fight back against the New World Order.
Well, it's a great idea, and other folks have thought of simpler, other simple things that work that are along similar lines. And, Daryl, you've got a lot of great ideas and a lot of effective tactics to really reach out and really affect change with people out there. So, you know, soon enough, I guess we need to start planning and, you know, moving forward with trying to do this. I'm just trying to do a Barack Obama video, a JFK film, a eugenics film. I'm trying to finish my little TV studio, my radio studio. It's going to be a lot better with a bunch of cameras and robotic cameras. And
Alex, I know you got your hands full, and your job is to disseminate the information, okay? What I'm proposing is I'll be your turnkey solution to training these people. Look, I've trained thousands of people to be successful in business and in ministry. I want to provide those services free of charge to you, okay? So we'll work that out, but I'd love to bring people down to Austin or Dallas, like you're going to be up to Dallas here in another couple of weeks. Maybe we can do a little mini event there at the Fed, and we can kind of work out the bugs from there. But in the meantime, I do want to offer everybody with this special you're running to get new subscribers, I'll pay for the first 100 that call today, okay? So you just tell all the listeners, first 100 people that call in, the bill's on me.
Now, I mean, how am I going to get a prison? How will I do that? PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber.
If they're calling in, they're not a current subscriber. They sign up, make them pay. Give me their name. I'll send them a check or something. We'll work it out. But up to the first 100 that subscribe, pay.
Well, Daryl's a great guy. I mean, Daryl's really tried to help us and tried to, you know, donate money and stuff, and I refuse most of it because, I mean, I just want to be able to spend it on something. In fact, a lot of that money for those $14,000 in prizes for the videos and essays in those two waves was the money Daryl gave us.
Don't worry about the money in closing. Just look at it like this. When Lindsay Williams said oil was going to 50, I sold it short. I made a fortune, so don't worry about it.
Oh, so you, well, that's great. That's good.
Well, what's the odds of the guys getting that right two or three times? I mean, obviously, Lindsay Williams, you, many other people.
All right, Daryl.
What they say is true.
Daryl, what I'm going to do is the first 100 people that email Aaron@Infowars.com, only the first 100, I will give them 100.
We'll give you a free year subscription.
You want a year subscription?
Well, whatever you were offering, whatever your special is, I'll pay for that. for the first 100.
Okay, Daryl Rundus, thank you so much for the PrisonPlanet.tv. Let me say bye to you when the show ends here in just a minute. All right, rebroadcast starts now at Infowars.com. Key info. Stay with us.